I think for thank you for the opportunity. I think Tanya was a loyal friend to all of us. Although we were from different political parties and officials, she was a friend, and she was a person that was constant in every day. Was the same person. You didn't have Tanya angry and then the next day she's a laughing person. And I will always remember, Chairperson, what you said on the group. I never thought about it, but you said on our WhatsApp group, Tanya had a killing smile. And that is so true. You know, she was a dedicated person. She was a very loyal colleague of mine. And in the 3.5 years that I worked with Tanya in water and sanitation, she was our third member. She then later became the DA's deputy shadow minister. I never had one day that I had a fight with her, that we differed. She knew where I was going when we were discussing issues, and I exactly knew where she was going. And we just filled each other in the portfolio committee. But I also know that Tanya had, and we discussed it a lot, Tanya had so much respect for the members on this portfolio committee. See, one day we sat in her office and she said, it's unbelievable, and she, it's not happening in all portfolio committees. We speak, and I believe you guys speak as well, where there's differences within portfolio committees that we picked up by. We have never walked out of this committee. You never allowed if we differed. We will get common ground and agree. And that was something special for Tanya. And she was the Deputy Shadow Minister for Human Settlement, and she said, I want to be with water and sanitation. This is my family. So, Chairperson, I would like to thank every member that worked with us, whether it's officials or members of parliament or from the department. Thank you very much in a way that you treated Tanya, and the respect you had when she asked questions and for clarity. It was always in a very good manner answered, and the support of the personnel. I think that's something that really she felt that she had support of the committee personnel, and she loved you all. And where she is now, she's fine. We'll miss her. I said this morning, I don't need to keep a seat open for Tanya, because normally I get here before her and then I keep a seat open for her. But I think all of us work very nicely with her, and we will miss her. We will really miss her, and I like to thank, and I would, from my party side, I would like to thank everybody that attended the funeral, Minister, you as well. Unfortunately, and we understand that the personnel that wanted to go of Parliament, that they were there in their spirit. It was not possible for them to get there, and we understand that. But thank you very, very much for everybody that made the effort to go there. We are much appreciated. Then maybe it will take you time, lastly, to between Baker and Basson. It's like bed and breakfast, something like that. Not the thanks, Chair. We great leader. She was full of humor. And she never took issues personal. To me, Che, it would become very difficult because she was my neighbor. Here in the park. She was one person that you can talk to, and you understand that you have only spoken to her, not to anyone else. I think it was in 2016, the parliament sent us, me and her, to Zambia to observe the elections there. It was the two of us. I led the South African parliament delegation. And when we arrived there, the leader of the mission suggested that because I'm leading the delegation, I should remain in Lusaka. Then I had to check with her whether she would be comfortable to go to Ndola. You know, Ndola is just in the eastern part of Congo. It's rough there. Then she said, it's fine. I'll go there. Then I look at I said, I'm going to sign, you sure? She said, I'll go there. And she went there, stayed there in Ndola for a week. It was very hot there. The roads are very bad. In fact, the environment is so bad, that's right. And she went there and would always communicate, how are you doing? I'm fine there. And then I realized the strength of the inner person that she has. She was so strong. And that's when we became friends. And even during recess, we would call each other, how are you doing? Then she would say, I'm working in KwaZulu-Natal. I think she was deployed at that time. Yeah, and then we would talk. And you know, she would always complain to me about you. She would complain to me that, look, can you speak to the chair? I think the committee must go into oversight in Mpumalanga. And I'll always raise it with him. And unfortunately, we never went to Mpumalanga because that was a wish. That we should go to Mpumalanga and do an oversight there. Last time, she was not in the Mpopo, no? Yeah, she said, but I said, let's go to Mpumalanga. You are going back to the Mpopo. What do you want me to do? Then I said, let's come. She said, no, I will decide. she could not make it to the Mpopo. But I think the portfolio committee owes the chair that even if she's not here, we can still go and do oversight in the board. I mean, in Mpumalanga. I think that would have made her so here. She was a strong woman. She never took issues personally. To her, it was just work. And when she asked, a question. It was a question that seeks to assist the committee and the work that we're supposed to do as parliamentarians. She was very good, unlike Basson. Basson can be very hard sometimes. But to her, she was just a different human being, and that's when we became very close, and we will talk. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. I think it's true that we've lost one of our own. We are a family in this particular community. And the way Mrs. Baker approached issues was very fair and open and precise in whatever she stood for and believed in. You know, I'm not a very active person in the portfolio committee, but when we are out, I could relay some of the things to her, and she could maybe inform me, and more especially things regarding the water challenges in Kenneth, and more especially in Josini. That's where I mostly talked to her about. But the approach she had towards each one of us was very open and fair. Her attitude, the way she spoke, gave some of us the impression that as members of the cultural committee, we no longer carry our portal heads in the community, but we only have the interest of the voters who have given us the opportunity to be here and representatives of the community. This all I could say, Chairperson, but we really lost one of our own, a very fair and open somebody who could express and use the way she felt needed to be expressed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, for opportunity to speak with Baker. We lost our committee member, but if only God knows, there is a purpose. For me, Baker, she didn't take me for granted or undermine me. They know me very well. Even if when I speak, they know they correct me when I speak. And all of us, we know, even if the minister, she's here, and even you, check, and the whip, they were respectful. They were respect, too much respect. But we've lost, only God knows. Rest in peace. Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I attended the Chinese purpose the day my husband general came straight into my mind that day when I saw Baker's husband crying and the kids crying. And I was crying also, and I was even looking around me and saying, I wonder what people are saying about me, because of the pain of, you know, I saw on that day that there is nothing like belonging to another party. Death is death. You feel the pain, and because you're human beings, and
And Baker was very respectful, I think I must say. Baker would talk loudly and she would make sure before she leaves. She'll say, "Are you okay, Deputy?" She'll come back and check if I'm okay. I remember when I was telling her about my accident. She used to come to me all the time. "How's your leg? You must take it easy." So I want to echo the words of the members of parliament that and also Chair, I think this will come to you that you created that environment of making sure that we are feeling. In some committees you don't find that. They become enemies, and it's only in this committee that I felt that these members are like family. And I want to say, let's keep it up, because it won't be Tanya, it will be somebody else wanting. Even the mere fact that we all went there, and the majority of members of parliament were all there. So I appreciated what I saw. May her soul rest in peace. Thank you very much. End of the end, when I jumped in, it was to the board, it was to the nothing level, so it was a condition with it. Men are bound to buy this. He's the Lena Bonanga, I went there. And the police are sung up in the very committee in the Shinja, as the Deputy Minister Ash. Sars ukuthi njengoba sizosebenzela abantu umesesibheka usifundise into enzima nami sengikwazi ukwazi ukuthi akusho noma kukhona okungivelelayo yinodade wethu nabatabami nayo yonke into ngibonge nakusihlalo ukuthi wuye okwazile ukuthi asiqoqe sibe yi-one senate. And ngibuyele kulento ayishoyo nje uminista eyinami ngakhala mina kenze ngakhala ngaba nebhadi ngalazi ngithi mithi ngivula i-404 sethisinganteni namdlani thati lopopayo ma ngithi ngide awubheka ngavele ngakhala mmoti mhlawumbe 3 days singakwazi ngisho ukwenzani because njengoba sila siyifemeli sibethu kubeko unkulunkulu la ukuthi sizosebenzela abantu bakithi. And nangendlela asengayo wayeli oversight ukukhombisa ukuthi uyayisebenzisa lokuthi if mangabe kusukela ko-Friday to Sunday senakwenziwe show kuye emphakathini. Nami ngithi sangathi angaphumula ngokuthula umphefumulo wakho uNkulunkulu awumukele nomndeni wakho ududuzeke kanjalo Nkosi yami nobhasonto bawahlunga thi Nkosi yami njengekhwaliti yakho uNkulunkulu sangathi angababopha.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. Morning, Mr. Chairperson. You know, there are these quotes in the Bible which are the quotes that say, "Step in it out."
Yeah.
There's that quote in the Bible which goes, "Step in it out." You know, when you read it through, you will see that you most powerful people go out of this world. What is left is what they have delivered, they have done. Hence, we speak about the tragic death of one of our colleagues. I was fortunate that I attended classes, governance and leadership program for advanced diploma in defense, started with her yet at parliament. So this one, I think we have also an assignment that has been given to us, talking about the fourth industrial revolution. You know, she phoned me, called me, you know, Derek, she called me Derek. Using my name when we did. Derek, I said, "Tanya, how can I help?" How would you start if you were given that? How would you start it? You know, we're in the process of writing that assignment because it's needed next week on Friday. I did not answer because I said, no, I'm still gathering information. But how I was doing that when I was dealing with my honors degree last time, I would start by defining what it, but I was just stop there. Then I will give you a structure. I will give you a structure how am I going to write. Maybe it might help you. But I couldn't. She said we'll meet in the meeting that week. I couldn't even come to the meeting because of the work I was doing. I called the chair at the portfolio committee for basic education. Unfortunately for me, I could not even see her for the last time. We said we'll discuss some of the things when we meet. Very energetic woman. Involved in all discussion. That's why hence I even indicated in the WhatsApp. I knew her social when we were at the hotel where we were sleeping. Had accommodation at Pactonia Hotel. You know, sometimes she will see me sitting alone there. You know, sometimes I like to sit alone just to think. Come with Tim, and they start discussing. One of the issues we discuss about it, do you see how we are treated here? Can't we change? Because if we wanted to lobby me to convince other members of the student community that we change the hotel, I will say no, I will convince them, but we'll see. You know, very polite. When I failed, I came to her and said, no, I'm failing to convince these people. They like this hotel. She took it nicely. She did not fight. What a loving person, teacher person. A loving person. But then she loved going to Pumalang. You remember in one of the meetings when I raised the issue here, on our last meeting when we closed, I said, please, on the next oversight visit, may it be Mpumalanga. She's the one who screamed and said, I second that. She wanted to go to Mpumalanga. Don't forgetting the Umzimvubu. It's Umzimvubu. She wanted to see progress in Umzimvubu. If we can just honor her on these two undertakings, she wanted progress in Umzimvubu and a visit to Mpumalanga, I will also feel happy for that. Unfortunately, I'm also from Mpumalanga. But we're talking about issues of Mpumalanga. She was talking about the issues around Secunda, around, you see, while I was talking about issues around Kanzini. You see, but the problems will match. But then we thank the DA for bringing that woman to us. If it wasn't DA, we would know that there's a very good person on Ms. Baker's caliber. How she engaged, how smiley she was, how comforting she was. We'll miss her dearly. May her soul rest in peace.
No, thank you very much, Chair. That we shared with the committee. The first person to interact with is the Pope Pasolde. He was one of the other ones. And the question was, who are you? And I do not know the time because the number of people. I am the member of the DA, but I come from the AOC Synod. The Anke is one of the fellows of the what brings you to the view? Looking at things that were not happening. She felt that why it was important that she was to be identify a party that that was my first contact. So throughout our in her she carries these values. Our liberation. She comes from that. Now Chair, her passing away of me brought in something just to reflect on ourselves and our health and everybody that you know life is and the tables of life, check. It's about contribution to better the life of those that are and I then find ourselves that out of the 64 million South Africans, you have the 400 elected members of parliament, and you happen to be one of them with us. And obviously, the question is that, Chair, out of the 64 million, only these 400 become the children of the people. And obviously, the point that you make is that you begin to understand that what we are meant to do, Chair, is a moment task that requires a lot of discipline. Because that's how we're going to be judged. And if Baker was one of those, that were always either out of order, not understanding your mandate and all of that, would not have spoken the way we are. But it's because we understand and we understood that she represented that particular mandate. So, and the spirit of the Holy Ghost. You know, in life there are those that will live and will perish at some point. And there will be no more. And we'll even forget that they ever existed. But there are those that will live and will live forever, their spirit will always live forever. Because of what they do becomes very difficult to the poorest of the poor. Because ours is about the poor of the poor. When the liberation struggle for nothing else but the poor, not self-existing, but for the poor. So from the NC, I remember very well, that the chief we both myself and yourself were mandated to speak at the Congress. That was the message that was coming from the AC and all persons to come up with our commitment and our condolences to the party and the Senate. But both me and the chairs, we were seated separate chairs at the Senate. We did not understand the program and how the program is run. There was no program director. And I keep continuing my stand up going to and talking to the family at the same time. So, you know, we don't understand what you can do here. There's no problem direction. And then you then told me, I do not want to meet the educator. That's the end. But at some point in that general session, both myself and the deputy minister were holding hands in our prayer. And I said to the chairman, I'm praying with you to be in the seminar. I even went as far as saying that I went with his 10,000 when he was the minister of sport or the whip of sport. What a gentleman. And he's so great. You know, what a gentleman to provoke those spirits for people who have made so much contribution to the life of the world. Because Steve, when he goes to the chamber, everybody would like Steve. Even the opposition party. And they went to New York. And everybody laughed. And I think we must never give up on the life that we're doing. Especially reflecting on the last meeting that we had. So the topic that the chair introduced on the funding of projects and the model of funding of projects. And both Baton and we are under the government. And at the end of that meeting, and I think it was when I was there, somebody was just hurt. My friend had to run away from the point. And then, without saying that he was left, he said, there's no reason that I And then I had to leave at some point as well. The two groups meeting, then I left Kumbos to run to the point. But there's a system in the But I think that, Chair, what makes us more vigorous, very strong, but we deal with the department that they're telling. But I think the relationship that we have built, even on top of whatever problems that are there in the department, the men and women have been doing all the time, I think that we, in a way that we are able to help and work together in the department to be able to overcome the challenges. And I think we should have to keep it as that, and let the spirit of honorable people live on in the personal community. And we must continue to do good for our citizens. Where things are wrong, we must stand up and we must challenge these things. Because no one else will do it except ourselves. We have a huge responsibility. We can be loved, we can be hated. That's the way we do it. So we have to continue doing that. It was always my neighbor, Chen Makonde, for sharing his neighbor with the honorable creator. So both me and the honorable Makonde. So that we forget the need to always convert some of the personalities to come back to the ministry. That's the work that we're doing. I'll share with you something that you don't know, Chair. That many years back, in fact, you know, this was to make me reflect. Many years back when we came to Parliament, there was a national party, very strong national party, and there was a rugby team, the national party, all the Martinas from Scandinavia and the young chairs that were in the national party were the players of the rugby team. Now, we took a decision that we need to penetrate the national team through sports. And Comrade Steve called myself, Grigory Rockman, Benny Jordan, Mululegi George, John Minani, and Frederick, that you guys must go and join that rugby team. That's why the political division system. Ukombe Steve at that time identified that we need to target the young stars that are in the national party and win them over. We went, we joined. I was showing Peter, with us in Scotland, or Ireland, traveling all over the world. Not only playing rugby, but mobilizing and convincing the young national party members to understand what is the ANC, what are these organizations. So by that time, it was still a process of converting and them understanding these things. These are not enemies, these are not terrorists, by the way, but are just ordinary democratic people. Now, it's fine that it's over. Now, by the end of 4, 5, 6 months, we had a breakaway national party. We had Martina Fancal Vick and the rest of the ministers training the UC. So I'm saying that they chair that there's so much that we can do and we can laugh about. But in the name of the revolution in the spirit of honorable Sheikh, let us continue to lead the wonderful world. And thank you very much, sir, for your leadership again, because you're very calm. Sometimes we like wasting my time on community. But I think that the leadership that you are giving, that's a result of what you're doing. That all parties can come together and agree, you know, on something that is a common thing. Thank you very much.
Ukuba uyakhumbula ukuthi sigcina ngolwesine indlela esebenza ngayo ozo asigcina sethe ngale crisis esinayo leya la yamanzi kuzofuneka sibe siye kwi-starting tools sase-China nezinye izinto azishiye ey'khalele kanti usho nje sekumyalezo okugcina ukuthi ngempela sangathi engathi mase ngale laleso mse sikhona enze show ukuthi sikhona yabonga.
The major question for us is to see how best we can honor the state and support them. Maybe just before that, I was just looking very carefully to Mr. Mbuni. Mr. Mbuni was saying,
I don't remember saying this. Yeah, we are sharing a hotel.
send for those viewers, we shall then have to begin our work. We have an apology from the who is attending the cabinet session. That's number one. Number two, we have received correspondence from the Institute of Laboratory Department indicating to us that there is an additional all Senate member of this committee.
Yes, to Manana.
The court that did talk to her yesterday, she came to approach me. We were meant to have dealt with this budget review presentation before, but in the past. Last week, we missed a golden opportunity of having to receive support from the department and a whole range of things. We felt we were very important and critical as part of our entertain, discuss, engage with the department. So, having thought through that process, we thought that today we shall have to still bring those people. We are meant, if you remember, to okay. Deputy Minister, we did receive your minister's apology, saying that you are giving the presentation, you are
good morning, Shepherd, all of the members. Thank you very much, Chair, for inviting us to brief you today on a number of items that have been outstanding from Portfolio Committee. I wish to take you through items program 3, which under program 3 we have war on leaks from the block, the internal audit committee, and also staff system. With the chair, with the acting DG, Sifuso, which Sifuso I will request him to introduce it to. And then we will take it through the presentation. And then it is the guy who sent it to the presentation.
Thank you very much, dear Chair and honorable members. Deputy Chair, maybe I also need to register as officials that with the passing of Mrs. Baker, we are all saddened. Even now, we are still shocked. But we believe that was God's will. Her time was that time for her passing. But as officials, we are all saddened. We'll always remember her for her passion for work and particularly attention to detail. I will share with you, Chair and Honourable Members, that often when we come here, we'll find that most of the time she'll have read our documents and she'll always cross-reference our numbers, statements that we make in different documents, up to a point where I had to have an individual in my office to say, after all documents have been done, to go and do cross-references, because I don't want Mrs. Baker to raise issues about our documents not corresponding. So that person is still doing that work. It's part of the legacy of her work, because I can slowly see our documents improving in terms of how we do the current check of our documents. So we'll miss her dearly. Chair, today we will take you through the homework that was given to us, especially on Program 3 on infrastructure projects. There was an issue of the allocated budget of 12 billion on infrastructure projects, how our money spent. We look at the issues of war on leaks, the Dope block, the debt collection unit, the step rollout, and we'll conclude with the internal audit. Today we have colleagues we have not been attending, especially the colleagues from the internal audit, who will introduce themselves, as well as the head of our legal unit is here today. So that they can provide also information on the legal work they do around debt collection, especially around municipalities. But Chair, allow me to ask my colleagues to introduce themselves. I'll start this time, then the other colleagues will introduce themselves as well.
Good morning, my name is Franz Moate, helping CFO in the main account.
Good morning, Jefferson and members. My name is Mpomo Fokeng, the CFO for the Debt Children's Institution.
Good morning. My name is Lanzi Lomaki.
Good morning. My name is Lanzi Lomaki, Deputy Infrastructure.
Good morning, my name is Nathan Motasi, the Acting Director in Dry Orange.
Good morning, my name is Pusele Tomotano, Chief Director, Legal Services.
You know he's spoken. And then in the invitation is, are you from the Water and Foundation?
I'm from Community Services.
Yes, she's from Communication, Water and Foundation. Your name?
My name is Minister.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, the DG will take us through the presentation. Thank you very much.
Chair, with your permission, we will start with the presentation on infrastructure. And the CDG for infrastructure is here. She is going to take us through her presentation.
Thank you. The question that the department is trying to respond to today was an issue around the 12 billion money presented our annual report. The 12 billion wherein AG indicated that we achieved 28% of the target. Based on our report, on the annual report, we achieved 33%. The presentation will therefore try and move apart from a point that says what then to do to the 12 billion if we achieve 33% of the ATP target. But first of all, we then decided that it would be imperative at this stage just to remind the committee about the purpose of the branch, the infrastructure branch, that it deals with water resource infrastructure implementation, that will include your dam, your canals, your tunnels, and then which infrastructure that basically looks at raw water management. And then we also have water services infrastructure program. These are primarily funded from grant funding, which is your RB, which is your WISIG, your Water Services Infrastructure Grant. These are dealing with pipelines, water treatment plants, wastewater treatment plants, and in some instances we build new infrastructure, but in some instances we refurbish, we upgrade and we replace old infrastructure. Now, the analysis of the performance in slide 3, we first said, let's break down all the indicators per program and per sub-program. And then on the infrastructure development and rehabilitation, which is the first one in slide 2, that deals with water resource infrastructure, your dams, and it's basically your mega project. We achieved one, and we partially, the total number of indicators, we had four, and we only achieved one, and we partially achieved one, and two were not achieved. And then on the operation of water resources, we had six targets, we achieved three, we partially achieved one, and two were not achieved. Under water services, we had eight targets, we achieved two. I must say at this stage that water services is the one that was worst hit, and the presentation will then indicate why was water services the one that was worst hit in terms of us not achieving the target as they were planned in the HP. We had in total we had 18 under program, we had 18 indicators. We achieved six, partially achieved five, and did not achieve seven. And slide number 4 then reflects on what was really facing the department, having leading us to have achieved what we achieved, which was, I think, not acceptable and not desirable at all. I wanted us to look back at who are we dealing with when we're delivering this water services infrastructure. Amongst other things is the fact that our own government has identified the 27 district municipalities that they are lacking the capacity to maintain and operate the existing infrastructure. Capacity that the basic document refers to is technical and financial project and program management. These are the municipalities, therefore, that are receiving the grant. And most of these municipalities, they don't even have revenue strategies to deal with cost recovery issues. We're also experiencing, when dealing with them, inability to raise co-funding, which has been raised in Treasury. And some of the projects, as we speak, are not continuing because part of their responsibility is that they must provide co-funding. But when they don't have a revenue strategy, they then fall short of providing us the necessary co-funding to implement this project. We have also experienced leadership instability in most of these municipal environments, as well as a lack of integrated planning within the water sector, grant dependency in most of them because they are failing to generate their own revenue. And in some instances, you find situations where even the grants are not properly used for the purposes that are intended for. Some instances which we are also experiencing, and I must say, but this financial year, again, I have signed quite a number of letters where our program managers are indicating that we need to withhold funds because those municipalities are failing to comply with DORA regulations. DORA regulations provide that they need to be providing us with regular information in terms of what they are doing with that money. I have seen quite a lot of that, and we will be discussing it with our corporate planning colleagues, because I do think it will again have an impact on our targets. Because if they don't report, DORA requires us to withhold the money. Now, the challenge that you then have once you have withheld the money is, again, the money has to be spent. There will always be pressing issues where other people that are prepared, that have capacity, that are prepared to spend the money will be asking for this. So instead of taking the money back to the revenue fund, the department would on a regular basis reprioritize and shift funds around to make sure that those that are capable of spending, are getting that money. So during the 2014-15 financial year, again, we requested National Treasury to approve a rollover of 900 million to implement 41 RP multi-year project, and that was declined. So Honorable Person keeps on asking, what happened to those accruals? So I think the 12 billion in a nutshell, when we started the financial year, the fact that we have that 900 million, which is almost a billion, that was coming out of accruals from the previous year's budget, and the rollover was not approved. So we began the financial year already with a billion less. So the decline of the rollover had the following impact on the program. The implementation of project under construction had to be delayed due to payment of accruals using the 2015-16 budget allocation. The completion timeline of projects under construction had to be revised, and that then had a knock-on effect on the indicators in the ACT. And then the following slide provides information on the accruals and payables for 2016-17. The impact of accruals under slide 8 of accruals and payables amount owed to contractors as of 31st March 2017 amounted to 1.5 billion and is being settled on the 2017-18 financial year. Now we go to maybe the most famous slide, which is slide number 9. That reflects on the breakdown of the 12 billion. And then again, which means the 12 billion is at the beginning of the financial year, the 1st April, it was a billion less. And 165 million, if you look on slide number 9, operation of water resources. That allocation, as well as 1731, they don't get spent under main account. They are transferred to the trading account, to the trading entity. So 1544 and 187, which makes the 1731, they get transferred to the WTE, and that money is then used for operations of water resource management under WTE. There is also 187, which is a transfer from the department to Komati Basin Water Authority in Swaziland. It is a settlement of a loan that was taken by the department together with the Republic of Swaziland, and 2%, I think, for Mozambique for assurance of supply, but Mozambique did not sign on that. That was in 1993. So we have to study that. So every year we pay a certain amount, transfer it to COBA for the settlement of that loan. So that money does not get spent in the department. It's just a transfer payment. It was meant for the construction of Magoka Dam as well as the Three Kopjes Dam. Now, taking it down now to the 10 billion, which was an allocation that went directly to grants, taking into consideration the fact that that 10 billion would have been a billion less because of accruals. 506 million of the 10 billion is for compensation of employees, as well as goods and services. Also, 69,000 rand for interest on rent and land. Then the transfers and subsidies. Out of the 10 billion, 5.5 was transferred to municipalities as well as our own implementing agents for implementation of those projects under 5B. Then there is also the payment of capital assets. That is your 6B, that's 4.1. What remained in the department was 4.1 billion, which is exclusive of the 5.6 for goods and services as well as. So basically, it's about 4.7 remained in the department. Now we are looking at the budget versus expenditure as of 31st March. This should be 36. This is 2017, sorry. Regional bulk infrastructure grant, direct grant. The direct grant will be your 5B, which is a portion of that 5 billion that is part of the transfer. 1.850 was the adjusted budget, and we actually spent 100% of that. The regional bulk, which is the indirect one, that remained with the department, we actually overspent there. We spent 100%, and there was also a slight over expenditure of about 2 million. And then the regional bulk infrastructure grant, this is the appropriation, the money that is appropriated to the department, but then is implemented by Water Board. As our implementing agent, 844 of that, 800, we spend 100% of that. Water Services Infrastructure Grant, this is the direct grant, we spend 100%. The WISIC indirect grant, we spend 114%. There was a slight over expenditure of that on that one. And then ACIP, again, we also spend 100%. And over and above that, we also spend 301 for desalination plant. The desalination plant had not been there. It's one of the drought intervention measures that we had to put in place during the financial year. That meant that we then had to revisit our targets and some of the targets in the process of us trying to address the issue of Richards Bay. Some targets had to be compromised. I am now going to go to slide 13, where I am breaking down the sub program in terms of where the money went to in terms of the breakdown per schedule. The budget allocation for 2016-17 for schedule 5B was 1.8 billion. 5B is what I've referred to as a direct grant. This is now is under the regional bulk infrastructure grant. That 1.8 billion. We had planned projects for construction 29, of which 28 were implemented, and then the transferred amount for 2016-17 was 99, which is running it of 99.9%, which is 100%. The actual expenditure of transferred amount will be confirmed with National Treasury after National Treasury has finalized the rollover applications from respective municipality. The department withheld the transfer of 209 to Cedarburg municipality due to non-compliance with DORA, as I had explained earlier on. And then What we then did was also to bring into the attention of the portfolio committee the municipalities that we have transferred this money to, all of them. And what we then also did was to look at the actual transfer as well as the actual expenditure by the municipality as at the end of our financial year. Remembering, committee chair, that the municipal financial year ends in June and our financial year ended in March. So there is that 3 months gap between the 3 months overlap between the two financial years, which then resuscitate that when we report as a department, we go back to those municipalities where we transferred money and ask for their actual expenditure. But that actual expenditure would have been up to 31st March, which is also perhaps an anomaly, because the minute then they have not spent, it becomes a problem when it comes to our corporate planning and the target being affected by such. And then under schedule, slide number 15, it's still dealing with the 5G transfers and as well as the actual expenditure. So we decided to break it down per municipality. This is money that was transferred to those municipalities and they do their own implementation. And then we have got now under slide 16, the indirect grant, which is spent by the department, the schedule 16. For 16-17, as I had indicated, we had 3.4 billion. 56 of all planned construction projects, of all projects that were planned for construction, 56 of them were planned and all of them were implemented.
So, something happened to me up there now. So, are you familiar with the forgot from that?
So out of 3.4 billion of indirect transfers, changes for RBs, 56 were all implemented, those that were planned for construction. And then we had 10 that were planned for completion. 10 were planned and we only completed 5. A budget reasons for variance on this one, a budget reprioritization of 1.2 billion. Now, in addition to this 1.2 billion, you'll remember that there is that billion that went to accruals. So a budget reprioritization of 1.2 billion was done from 51 projects under construction to increase the allocation for the following projects. And the criteria was based on performance in line with the DORA recommendations. The Kiani emergency project received 772, and the original budget for Kiani was 140 million, and expenditure as at the end of the financial year became 913 million. And the reason for this was that construction in Kiani was accelerated based on the spirit that the project had started with, that it must have been completed within a certain time. We had to hit the call. However, our budget at that time, when the order was made that this project must be accelerated, we did not have money. What we then did was during the year, as and when those other projects were not performing, funds were then redirected to make sure that the construction of Kiani is accelerated. And then the Nandone Dam, which is also related to the drought relief was the original budget was 20 million, but the actual expenditure was 153 million. Construction on this one was also accelerated in line with the whole spirit of, because Nandone Dam is still part of the whole Giani, which is the Kiwep, the Huot Letaba Water Project. Because there was a drought. I remember when Nandoni Sami started, it was 2010, 2011. If you remember, Chase, this is one of those, that project where there was a court order that the department must take it back from Opani because of the wrong pipes, of the wrong procurement process, and there were those pipes that were lying there on the ground. So it had started at that stage. So when the court then decided, it decides during the year when we had already made our budget, and that's why we did not have enough money then. But then when we realized that it was moving, it was one of those then we decided to redirect the funds and take it to them. And then the Kroonstad borehole, we had to, the original budget for Kroonstad borehole was zero. But it's also one of those that were drought-related projects. We then spent 12.9 million for this one. The reason for reallocation was due to drought. And then REIT, again, we had no money for REIT, which is the bulk that is linked to package. But seeing that there was a need, there were also already packages that were already implemented. The structure was there, everything had been done, but there was no bulk to connect to that, no bulk to connect to those packages. We then redirected again 39 million to this. The project was to construct a package plan for alignment with package eradication program. And then Velvet Duct Pipeline, the original budget for, we spent 17 million for Velvet Duct. The original budget for Velvet Duct, again, at the beginning of the financial year, was zero. The reallocation, we ended up spending 17 million. The reallocation was to address continuous pipe burst due to aging infrastructure with affected water supply in Mangaung Metro and its surrounding areas. We also spent 6.5 million as part of one of the Fort Letaba water augmentation projects. The project was originally, when WTE still had funds, it was originally budgeted from WTE. But when we realized at the beginning of the financial year that the WTE coffers were drying up, we then moved the project because it fitted very well with the grant funding program. Since it is a water services project, we then moved this project to main account. 11 projects in Eastern Cape, there were 8, 3 in KZN, were converted from Schedule 6B to 5B due to the misalignment of financial years. The amount of 255 million was reprioritized to pay invoices. Then we're giving a detailed breakdown of what has been achieved with the 900 million that was spent in Giani during the financial year. 16 priority village groundwater augmentation completed. Kenzani Hospital groundwater augmentation completed. Giani water wastewater treatment plant, that's the package plant, completed. Giani wastewater treatment refurbishment of the existing plant has been completed. Morokolo transfer pump station has been completed. Kremetite transfer pump station has been completed. Kanisa booster pump station has been completed. Nzami Water Treatment Plant, the refurbishment of the old plant, that has been completed. Nzami Water Treatment Plant, the new one, has been completed. Kremetite High and Low Reservoirs have been completed. And then we tried to say, perhaps, let's then bring the committee into a situation where they then understand the challenges that we were facing, why we had to accelerate it again the way we did during the financial year. And the problem statement emanates primarily from the fact that whilst we were trying to deal with the emergency part of the problem, which was the Kentani and the refurbishment of the groundwater augmentation, we provided more water into the system of very old AC pipes. Those AC pipes were, the minute we touched the system in that whole area, what then happened was that the whole system was collapsing. What we were trying to address by just providing water in a particular area, remember water is a network chair, and it has been something that it's even coming out in the RID of the RID of Nwamitwa, the RID of Danin Dam, the project, the programs, the mega project that we are dealing with. They had indicated that the minute you bring old AC pipelines, as well as the fact that those communities, there were a lot of illegal connections in the area. So what then happened was that we then had to move swiftly and put the pipes on the ground, new pipes on the ground. As well as the boreholes that we were pumping, we also discovered that the water was not of the quality that could be consumed by human beings. Then we also had to move in swiftly and make sure that all the existing boreholes, because if you remember in the area, you have taken a visit to the area. Most of the of that area gets water from groundwater, but that groundwater is not clean enough for them to be able to drink it. Hence, we also had to bring in more package plants for cleaning that and making sure that those package plants are running 24 hours a day to make sure that people don't get sick because of the water in the area. And in addition to that, communities in that particular area, it had been in the media, it had been everywhere, but for almost 20 years they had not been having water. They were fetching water from the river, which was polluted by raw sewer discharging into the river. Women were being raped while fetching water in the area. And that was also highlighted in some of the media releases that we saw in the country when we began with this project. To address the above, the budget of $2.2 billion was therefore provided and was funded by the Department of Water and Sanitation. The following projects were, amongst other now, the pipelines that we then had to make sure that we implement to remove the AC pipelines, the old AC pipelines that were in place. 144 boreholes in 55 villages were also refurbished, re-drilled as an interim measure while the pipelines were being installed. Of the 154, 137 are completed and operational as we speak. 17 could not be completed due to budgetary constraints. The project has to be accelerated due to the fact that we began with the project, the construction collapse HR system, as I had explained. But funds were reprioritized from the other projects. Nandoni pipeline, which is a 52-kilometer pipeline, taking water from Nandoni Dam to Giani. This, again, as we said, that this project had no budget at the beginning of the financial year. But due to the court ruling that we must take over the department and make sure that it gets implemented, we had to heed to the call of the legal system of the country. I have explained that information is in 2023, which is the decision that was taken by the Supreme Court for us to take over that infrastructure. And the whole area, if I had mentioned already that there was already a drought, we just don't know, and the planning people maybe can explain, but the Grootegeluk River system started experiencing drought way before the drought that we experienced last financial year and other financial years. As you can see that in 2010, there was a government that declared that whole area as a drought, a disaster area due to drought. And then, so we had to hit the call of the court and implement Nandoni Nsame and redirect more than 100 million of funds from other projects to make sure that at least we are on the ground and we are running with the project. And then 11 projects, now going to the 11 projects, the 8 in the Eastern Cape and 3 in KZN, which were converted from Schedule 6B to 5B due to misalignment of financial years. The amount of 255 million because of that was reprioritized to pay invoices. The low project had zero budget at the beginning of the financial year, and the actual expenditure of 16-17, that is the money that we redirected from other projects. The Chris Hani Cluster 4 bulk water system, the actual expenditure was 32 million. The Chris Hani Cluster 6 actual expenditure was 4 million. Hofmeyr, the Konka was actual expenditure was 7 million. Hofmeyr groundwater development was 4.7 million. Cluster bulk water supply, actual expenditure was 810,000. Umtata Kokstad sanitation actual expenditure was 67 million. Umtata, Umtata KSD sanitation, KSD sanitation and KSD water. Sanitation, they received 67 million. The KSD with bulk water supply, they received 84 million. The three in KZN, Greytown, regional park scheme, the actual expenditure was 1.9, which is almost 2 million. Nongoma, the actual expenditure was 45 million. And Manzagazi, the actual expenditure was 1.1. This is where all the money went to Chair. That were reprioritized and redirected. The summary of the RB project now, I think we've discussed the slide 3.4 on how and how it works. We also felt that perhaps we need to bring the division of revenue, the act regulating the national the adjustments of budgets. If you remember, Chair, in slide 26, you will see that we pulled a snippet of the Public Finance Management Act, which is PFMA Act number 1 of 1999. Clause 30 of that act provides for national adjustment of budget. The minister may table an adjustment of budget in the National Assembly as and when necessary. A national adjustment budget may only provide for adjustment required due to significant and unforeseeable economic and financial events affecting the fiscal target set by the annual budget. It is within this act that we then moved from in terms of the reprioritization that happened during the year. But also the issue of withholding funds by the department for those municipalities that are not performing, which is covered nicely under the Division of Revenue Act number 3 of 2016, which states that when a Schedule 4 or 5 allocation or a portion thereof is stopped in terms of Section 19.1A of the National Treasury, may, after consultation with the transferring officer and the relevant provincial treasurer, determine the portion of the allocation to be reallocated as the same type of allocation as it was allocated originally to one or more provinces or municipalities, on condition that the allocation must be spent by the end of the financial year. That is under, it was under that that clause, Chair, of the Division of Revenue, that we then moved funds around for those municipalities that were non-compliant to those municipalities that were spending. Also, to be noted is clause 20.3A, that states that if the transferring officer of a Schedule 6, now this one deals with Schedule 6, If the transferring officer of a Schedule 6 allocation indicates in writing to National Treasury that a portion of allocation is likely to be underspent or needs to be reprioritized to meet a priority, the National Treasury may, at the request of the transferring officer, determine that the portion be reallocated as the same type of allocation as it was allocated originally to a provincial department or another province or another municipality. And the reallocation as well as the reprioritization of our budget was done on the basis of these two acts of the country. And then I also want to draw the committee to still under section 0.23E, the reallocated portion is regarded as having been converted into an allocation to the relevant provincial department or municipality with effect from the date of notice of the Gazette in terms of section 4.8. I am therefore now going to move to slide number 29, which is the regional bulk infrastructure grant. That 844 million that we, 844 million that we spoke about. Out of these five, there were five projects that were planned for construction, and they were all implemented. And then there were none that were planned for completion, as these were a multi-year project. But the implications of reprioritization, Chair, in the multi-year project is not that the projects are not done. The project gets delayed and sometimes they get finished in the other financial year. But But that has an impact on the APP. It may happen that your reprioritization may have happened post the time when the APP could be changed. Under such circumstances, unfortunately, you don't have a choice as a department. You have to spend the money, but we all know that it then hits you in terms of the targets because you won't be able to achieve your targets as you had planned. But it is a challenge, Chair, perhaps, that we may have to have appeals to our corporate planning colleagues to say, I still think there could be a better way of rearranging that, even where the money is spent. Because the way it appears, when it says it's 33%, it's like the money vanished. The money went to projects, even those that were planned, the end date may have been affected, but the money went to those projects. And then under section 5B, budget allocation for 5B was for WISIG now. We are under WISIG now, which is the Water Services Infrastructure Grant. We had 2.8 billion. 371 projects were planned for construction, and all of them were implemented. And then the transferred amount was 9.5. We rounded it off to 100%. I've already mentioned that there is only one municipality where, under 5B, where we withheld funds due to DORA non-compliance. The following slide, we are then indicating which municipalities received the money and how much did they receive. It's broken down per province. Right up to, for 5B, it's right up to slide 35. You would see that now the allocation, the amount of money that was allocated is 2.8. The actual expenditure as at 31st March was 2.3. And I've already indicated that because of that 3 months gap between our end of the financial year and the municipal financial year, the difference between these may have been spent. Where it is not spent, we are waiting for them to report and indicate whether they got rollovers from National Treasury. And then I'm now going to go to WISIG indirect transfers, that is Schedule B. The total allocation for WISIG was 362 million, inclusive of the 50 million allocated for drought. The number of projects planned for construction were 371, of which all of them were implemented. Number of projects planned for completion were 191, of which 11 were completed. I think WISIG 6B, because it was within the control of the department, it is one that was worth hit. But not that the money was redirected as per DORA provision to those other projects. And in this case, as we had already indicated, it is a year that the country was worst hit by drought, as you can see in the beginning where I highlighted where that money went to, for projects that were not initially planned for. But because of the drought and people were crying that they needed water, we had then had to redirect those funds to those municipalities. And then we seek 6B, 413 was spent. We spent 100% plus the 362 plus that 50 million that we got from the disaster relief fund. I am then going to move to the WISIG 6B performance, which highlights clearly those municipalities that benefited from the money that flowed from the WISIG 6B. Then I'm moving to the next part of the program, which is the ACIP, Accelerated Community Infrastructure Project. This is not a grant. We take it from our allocation, but it is set aside to deal with those special projects that will come during the financial year. Municipalities will provide business plans. It is primarily more on refurbishment, refurbishment and drilling of boreholes in some instances. We had 206 million under WISIG. and 59 projects were planned for under ASIP, sorry. The number of projects that were planned for construction under ASIP were 59, of which only 19 were implemented. And then you would then realize why then the 33%, because the minute we don't implement those projects that are planned, then it hits us on the ATP side. The number of projects planned for completion were 59, of which 14 were completed. The actual expenditure spent, we spent the whole amount. Now, the question would be to say, where did the money go to? The 206, the whole 206 was spent. Out of that 206, 140 million was reprioritized from 40 projects to pay operations and maintenance check for Sidibeng Water. You remember that the department has been reporting that Sidibeng Water Board is one of those, it is the worst hit in terms of non-payment per municipalities. They are operating primarily in the area of Northwest, Ngagamudiri, in Northwest, in Free State, and in Northern Cape. So at some stage, the utility came to the department and said, and it was during the drought last financial year, that we don't even have money now to operate. Department assist us to get this money. And then there is a process that was started by the minister and the then DG to approach those municipalities. But the reality was that there was not going to be water in those areas because municipalities had failed with their O&M responsibilities. And then the utility then carried out the operation and maintenance of those municipalities, as well as the drought interventions around the area of Northwest. The municipalities that benefited from this is Jukatong, it's Ngagamudiri Mulema, it's Machabeng, it's Namakwai, and Tisobosa. The breakdown of payments, as you can see, of the 114, Free State received 60 million, Northwest Region received 23 million, Palkamakara received 54 million, Namakwa received 8 million, Mahikeng received 17 million. For us to be able to see water coming out of those small towns. Then the ASIP project affected by reprioritization. As we have said that we had, the actual expenditure was 206, 96% was spent. The total available budget was 8 million, which was then redirected to other areas in the department. The next slide deals with the drought-related expenditure, still flowing from the 12 billion that we started with. So the 114 has explained it in detail that went to the building. Then again, we also spent 121 million to the building for various drought interventions. There was also the desalination that I have explained, which was earmarked by National Treasury, which came during the financial year, and that money had to, the money from the grant had to be utilized to pay for the desalination plant. 123 million also was spent in the department trying to address water shortages through water tendering. In total, out of the total budget of the department, 660 million. Over and above the other project that I've mentioned, was not budgeted for when we started with the financial year, and we had to take from the money from our budget and reallocate that money into the drought related areas functions. The country experience, as I indicated, it was the ASIC was used to deal with that. To deal with drought because of the drought that was experienced in the country during that financial year. Now I'm moving to slide number 47, where I'm explaining the payment of the 121 million to Sidibeng for drought and emergency hotspot intervention. The Minister of Water and Sanitation received numerous complaints by communities relating to continuous water challenges in Ngagamudimu Mulema. Subsequent to that meeting, various stakeholders, that including the minister, invoked a section 41.1 of the Water Services Act, which gives her the right to issue a directive to a water board to intervene, hence the appointment of Sidibeng as an implementing agent to deal with the 121 million that was reprioritized from WISIC. That was also extended to include Free State and Eastern Cape for similar interventions. Eastern Cape flight number 48, Eastern Cape drought intervention. We spent approximately 26 million. There is a list of projects that money was spent to. You can see they are all drought related, where there was a lack of surface water. The best thing that we could look into now was the drilling of broken holes so that we can tap into the groundwater of the country. And then the three stage one, the 24 million, there is a breakdown of where all those projects, the money was spent in. They were all drought related. Northwest drought and emergency intervention. We spent in Northwest 20.5 million. And then out of 20.5 million as part of the drought intervention program. And then again, the total, it's the 20 was for Ramotira, sorry. The total for Northwest was 69 million. 69.5 million that was spent, and it shows all the areas where the money was spent in. And we also had unforeseen and unavoidable in Eastern Cape. In Eastern Cape, the total that we spent was 5.8 for unforeseen and unavoidable. In national, and it lists down all the number of projects where the money was spent into. In Northwest, for unforeseen and unavailable, which is drought related, we spent 23 million. Northern Cape, in Free State, we spent 21 million. Then slide number 56 deals with the desalination plant that we implemented in Richards Bay. The purpose was of the project was initiated. The project was initiated in June 2016 as an immediate response, where it was all over the media in the country that in 22 weeks, if we had not implemented this project, Richards Bay would have been without water. And at that time, it comes at the time where the government of KZN had shifted from the Durban Harbour and identify Richards Bay Harbour as its central economic zone. It therefore meant that if we had not moved swiftly with the implementation of the desalination plan, it would have compromised the whole economy of KZN government. We therefore moved the money from the project, and then we implemented the desalination plan. It is up and running. Over 150,000 households under King Testuaya District Municipality are receiving this water, as well as the Central Business District of Richards Bay. Bonambi Rural Water Supply Scheme is receiving water from this desalination plant as well. And heavy industrial zone, which includes small to medium companies to international companies like Mondi Group, Rio Tinto, Exaro, Richards Bay Minerals, South 32, Hillside, and Fosco. They were all going to be compromised had we not implemented this project. The desalination plant is a series of 1 megaliter per day portable desalination units, and there are 10 of them, and they provide about 10 megaliters per day of clean water that is then dispersed into the Richards Bay system. The first drop of water out of the plant came out in November 2016. The project saved over 100 million due to location. The plant, in the location that the plant was in, the location is specialized as facilities which are critical to the operation of the desalination plant, where already existing, including abstraction and discharge into the sea. Industry consumed over 100 megaliters, and desalination contributes about 10%. A short to medium term solution is being implemented through the upgrading of the Tugela Cholesterol scheme to provide about 220 megaliters per day. Project completion for the Khudetro scheme is earmarked for the beginning of 2019. As we speak, the project is under construction, and the project is costing about 650 million, that of which also was not budgeted for. The impact on reallocation, non-achievement of the planned targets on the annual performance APP. That we agree with, Chairperson. Delays in completion timeline on planned projects, project cost escalation, because the more we delay, the project the project costs are escalated. But unfortunately, due to this measure, we had to deal with drought. I consider drought what you would consider in construction management as a this measure. That is something that you would not really plan for. So due to that, we have to live with the fact that some project costs are costs have to be escalated. Some communities are going to be experiencing delays in services. Vandalism as a result of incomplete projects is one of the issues that we are grappling with now. Infrastructure depreciation, service delivery unrest, we are dealing with them now in other areas, and inability of implementing agents to commit due to reduction in allocation. Thank you.
So I'm not quite sure whether we should do all the presentations or you want to ask us in each presentation.
One by one.
Okay.
Trying to establish. You're talking about your own division having to have its own budget in terms of compensation of your employees and rent out, different from the entire department.
On main account. Each program it gets its budget, but it also gets each budget broken down into economic classification. Every program has goods and services, it has a compensation of employees, and where you are dealing with capital assets, they then get consolidated somewhere. But specifically on this one, this is for program 3.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, what worries me is that in your previous presentation, we were told that achievement was 67%. We showed 67%. So we showed out our calculation that works how I calculated that amount, and I got it 33%, and then I was told, no, that's not it. It is wrongly understood. But I'm glad now you got to the same 33% that we got on your own figures. Chairperson, what this report does is and I'm talking about myself now, it's even confusing me even more. I want to follow the money. You spent 12.1 million. You've paid out to on this project this amount. There is 11.2 billion left. But with your long report, I've got to go and calculate. Does that calculate the 12.1 billion? I cannot do it. And when you talk about 18. In your program three, you've got 18. You achieve 6 of the 18. I need to understand. How do you break down the 18? Because now you've given me. You talk about 54. How many municipalities did you help? You said 54. Was it the amount? 54. I only count this odd number here. That you've mentioned. So, Chair, for me at this stage, I thank you for all the information and explanation, but I can still not follow the money. I still don't know what happened to 12.1 billion rand. Then the second challenge that I have is, you start off to tell us that there was accruals. In the previous financial year, it's 1 billion, you've got to deduct it. So it is being paid out of this financial year. And when we challenged your budget in May, we had the same discussion, and then we were told, no, but there's nothing like accrual. It's multi-year projects, it's got to be paid out here. Now, I get to think that is not the case. It is accrual. You had to pay it in the previous financial year. You did not have the money. And now it's going to be funded because, as you said, the accruals will be paid. So this has got a knock-on effect. That was your own words. So we're going to have now, it seems that we're going to have every year this knock-on effect because there's a problem with your budget, how you budget, how you spend your money. What I would have liked to see is the following. I still cannot understand 12.1 billion, and I'm not going to use your percentage because it's not verified. I'm going to use the Auditor General's because that's the figure we have. If the Auditor General is wrong, you've got to clarify it with him. 28%. You only achieved with 12.1 billion rand 28% of your achievement. Now, we said that to you in the last meeting. What went wrong? Did you pay more? Where the money did the money go? So Chi, for me, I tried to calculate here, and then it's this fund, and then it's WhatsApp, and that. I want to know under program three, I want, if it's a three-pager, this is where the money, so we can follow the money. I cannot follow the money. I understand you explained very nice what your challenges was and what the future challenges would be. But this is not really assisting me following the money. And that's what the Auditor General also says, is that we've got to follow the money. Then let's come to the Richards Bay project. It was an emergency project. I asked a written question on Richards Bay. And I can understand it was a crisis, and I acknowledge that there was a crisis. But the procedures, you use the act when it suits you to take a decision on 250 million rand for a desalination plant. Now, you tell us that you followed the right processes and stuff. Now, if you go and look who got the tender, the guy that does refuse removal in that area, because I asked, he's not a water expert. He got the contract. He imported the plant. Plant's not built. We checked it in every company in South Africa that manufactured these plants. It's not been built here. If it was built here, it would have cost 160 million rand. So, the fact is that we overpaid 90 million rand on a plant that could have been utilized somewhere else. Now, that is under investigation. And the Auditor General is also, Jefferson, am I incorrect? The Auditor General is busy with that investigation. He told us. Now, you pay 90 million more. And I can give you name, address of the person that got the contract. He does the water sector. And then I start to worry, why do you give a contract to someone that is not a specialist in the water sector services? Now I come to the last question, and maybe the question, just think about it. You don't need to answer me the question. Next week, we're going to sit with a Western Cape. We've got huge problems here. Up to Saldanha, factory is going to close. There is no water. We're pleading now with the minister with water from Langebaan. We can't get it. It seems that there's a water license crisis. Now there's going to be a high court case against that. The mere fact is that your department, the minister, intervened there. We're asking the minister for intervention in the Western Cape in writing. I got replies, but no action. But that's something for next week. But Chairperson, bottom line is, I cannot follow the 12.1 billion, and I have to, and I'm not saying, I have to go and work through this document on my own, spend time. I got this morning. I've got to go and work through this document, and I didn't prepare for this because we would have done BRRR and we were informed, I got the information this morning, we're going to see you first. We won't deal with BRRR. So maybe I will make sense to me when I go through this document. But I still keep with the 28% and I can still not, in your presentation, I tried to calculate here, but it's not making any sense to me.
You know, I was not there last week, but I could sense, even after reading those documents, sense that not everything is well. Looking at even the achievement, even if it can be 33% achievement, you know, since we arrived here, we have never improved, even though we gave some guidelines as a department. Well, remember that in 2015-2016, you were at something like 40-something, 48% if I'm not mistaken. Now you are regressing even further to 30. If you say 33, it's 33. Which indicated the guidelines or whatever advice we give push you more further. It does not go well to us. Looking at the document itself, on the figures, whatever you plan, you are failing to achieve. Where you are intervening department, you don't even work on what you have. Your funds escalate. I have noted on page 16 where you have originally budgeted, but you end up being almost 1,000% above the budget. The reason that has been mentioned, that because of the acceleration does not occur well to me. Because if the project was 140 million, then because of your acceleration, PM, it goes to 900 and something million. There's a problem, Peter. There's a problem. Even our acceleration, it cannot be, not even, it's 100%, it's 1,000%. Not even double. But how was our planning? Can hold our planning. I have noted on page 21 also the issue of boreholes. You said 154 boreholes were refurbished, where only something like 137 are working. But we were in Guyanese. We were in Guyanese. You remember, where we, when we were calculating, I think there were less, I think there was 54, 34 that were working. We were there, not 137. We even asked the price, how much is the pool? But if the department is saying 137 are working. On our actual visit, there were less that were working. Very much less. Yeah, they were very, so the information that we get here at DM, and the information that we physically verified, it does not tally. It does not tally. So now you start to ask yourself a question. Hey, can I take that CIA? What part in a way they're physical? We saw those things. Let me ask this question. On the borehole, how much can use the borehole again? This question will always come. Nova, you say, Nina, it is, you spend almost 913 million. If you divide, I don't know whether that is the project, the entire project or the boreholes. The entire project. Yeah. Or if it's the entire project, the proposal, when I divide that, I got that each borehole costs 5 million, then it becomes a problem. Are you using, do you have any unit in the department which deals or with geo hydrology? Or do you have any geo hydrology? My, you know, I have met these people since I started here. I started to check how do you deal with water when borehole the underground water? You know, I got these people. They sat down with me. You know what? This is how water is working. If you use the service of the geo hydrologist, these people are capable of finding how much water chaperone is there. They will tell you that if the water is maybe 100 kiloliters, I'm just making an example, they will even advise you don't use the 100 kiloliters, use 50, because this will quickly dry out. You'll remember chaperone that and Dweep that they even indicate that. When we were in Guyana, they said, the terrain, or rather, they will get rocks when they are drilling. They said, there's nothing like that. They will tell, these people told me that, you can see, as a geohydrologist, where there will be a problem. The department, if it can do its own work thoroughly, research, and have a unit of people who are dealing with, they won't have this problem of escalating money when it comes to boreholes. And some of the boreholes getting dried. Maybe I will suggest that we call this company, the geohydrologist. We call them to come here and explain how they work, how it happens. So that you can, maybe you maybe are not out, because when you see problems, we start to research, to make our own research, how this thing happens. I am on page 51, 52, 53. You keep on saying there were drought intervention. When we look there, so Swahili local municipality, five intervention, and another document. It's a little cool. Can't you just we it's Swahili. We combine everything. We have done 10 million.
we put 10 million there. Ngasibeke swaying 2 million, swaying papa, swaying bamba, so nyas confused. You see, it is where punch but puzzle, don't even know much. You see, can swaying local man, how many swaying local municipalities? It's not even swaying that throw mafiken and so forth. Can you put it one so that when you ask you, when you want a breakdown, we'll need a breakdown from you. The issue, the last question, Jefferson. I understand the issue of a Dora, division of revenue. But you keep on seeing there's a problem with municipalities. Are you saying to us as members that while those challenges are still there, you will keep on having problems as a department? What is your turnaround strategy? What are your approaches to ensure that what you found when you dealt with the initial problem, you correct it? It can't be saying that every time when we talk, you say, no, municipalities have got this problem. It can't be like that. For it's almost 3 years now we've been getting the same thing. Every time you go to the shop, you say, hey, Bandwana, they have taken sweets. They have taken sweets and we did not budget for them. What do you do about your children? Because when you see the children with a problem, do something. Either you leave them at home, or you give them money themselves to do those things, or you control them. You can't be saying every time, no, I have a problem, Baba. No, there's a problem with you. Because you are national. That is why you are called national. If you have a problem of controlling local, then you have a problem. But we nationally are. Who are national is the hate. Controlling down there. I mean, I don't understand. Why don't you control these people? I don't understand. Nothing is cement and it's in there. We don't plan. Every time there's a problem, we just run. You see, I have a problem with the planning of the department. And when you go and do shopping without a budget, this is what is going to happen. This is what you go. You will end up getting home. But there's no food. This thing cannot even last you for 10 days. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. You know, I'm confused sitting here. One thing that you teacher, they say in English that the more things change, the more they remain the same. I think this is supposed to be the presentation from the department that we are asking. And we have requested that there must be breakdown, details, breakdown, expenditure per project. But what you get here is confusion. But I'm happy. Because even the department, and if they believe that what they presented is the best that it could come out from them, then that's fine. We have a problem in the country. I don't think when I look at their faces, they are convinced that this is how they spend the money. $12 billion minus $660 million. Where's the other money? That's what we want to know. We can understand you have spent $660 million for drought relief. Where's the other money? You can't get it. And I am of the view that if we can't act, the two of you, we must get help someone. Maybe this other person that can come in will be able to understand each other. And chair, that is the AG chair. We need the AG to assist us to understand where the money is. And I'm suggesting, Chair, that we need to have a forensic investigation into this thing so that we understand exactly where's the money. Special investigation unit is another thing. One, I want to raise an issue, Chair, that relates to performance in terms of the AG. And I want to understand how the department understands it. Whether you partially achieved, you call it achievement of your target. Because AG's understanding is that partially achieved is non-achievement. Because you have not met your milestone. I want to understand your understanding with regard to that. There's an issue. You know, I can speak better term of the project in Limpopo, because that's where I come from. You can raise the project in don't distract me. Don't distract me. I can understand them in Limpopo. I may not understand the project that we're implementing in Mpumalanga, in Eastern Cape, and so forth. I can't find the spending here on one in Zatem. Can't find it. I tried to look, I can't find it. One in Zatem. Can't find it. But I want to go to your slide number 13. There are a number of projects that we have planned, which are 21, which 28. When I count, I only got 28. 27, I mean. They're not 28, if you count. Then there's an issue of, let's talk about the Nandoni Nseme project. When you say the original budget was 20 million, and because the project has moved, then you have redirected funds to that particular project. What do you mean? I say that I pass on that project almost every day. The contractor is not on site since December. There's absolutely nothing that is happening there. And if you have spent 153 million, it's for what? I want to be convinced. And the other issue that I want to know, how much was the cost, the total cost of this project, if you have paid 153, so that I understand why there was this payment. I drive there almost every day. People are complaining. They have not been paid by the contractor that was paid 153 million. They are calling me because they know that I'm an MP from that particular area. But 153 million was paid for what? Nothing. Unless if you tell me that, tell me why did you pay this 153 million for a person who has never been on site for almost how many months? It's 9 months now. It's not there, even today. You can go there, it's not there. And then tell me. You see, we don't suggest that money has been stolen, but the way you are speaking, when you speak to us, it suggests that the money has been stolen. And, you see, I want to be told about this project. I may not necessarily have a problem with your Giani emergency intervention project. I may not have a problem because we're still going to get a report on that, I believe. But the Nandoni son, I must be told. What is it? This 153 million has been paid for. Chair, we can't follow the 12 billion rand allocated to program 3. It becomes very different. Hence, I suggest that we need to have a session with AG and we request an assistance from them to tell us how best they can act so that we understand, because the information which the department is presenting to us, I don't understand it. In fact, it confuses me more. When you request a detailed breakdown in terms of spending, then you are given information that is so irrelevant. We did not say we need the reason why there was. I mean, we needed how did you spend this 12 billion rand, which was allocated to program 3. So I suggest, Chair, that we need to call AG so that they assist us in terms of understanding what the department is saying. Thanks, Chair.
Mina bengizwe ngibuzo nje lana mayelana nenkinga lapha okuqala nenkinga enkulu lapha ukuthi yini le yenza ukuthi indawo ethize inikeze imali emva kwalokho bese iyathathwa nobani futhi ihambe iyonikezwa abanye yise kwenye indawo. Why is that? I want to see the Bengi now or Amara. I'm not sure. Go to Richard's Day. You don't get land as it is at end. I get congrats the month of an hour. Go to Totima, La Payana, the tattoo is showing in the house. The Kuruma has been 255 million. Eyakhona isuke isishone iphi imali noma mhlambe iyathatha imali kuthiwa nansi yakho mase kubona udokotela abantu ukuthi sibabuye sibaphuce le mali. Umbuzo wami ngilapho ngoba yabona nje ngikhuluma nawe nani njeabuhlalo wami ma ngase nifundiselane ungathulula imali kwena ngoba wekha manje kwana ngoma ko-resourceday omandlakazi awekha manje. Kodwa manje ibuhlungu ma i-presentation ema siyithola la ikhombisa ukuthi abantu banawo amanzi. Nabanawo amanzi kugcine kufakwe nje ompompi lapha kude. Umuntu agcine ebona ukuthi kungcono ngihambe kwayigela amanzi alo esiqethu kunoma ngiye lapha yami. Mangabe wena ube nenhlanhla waseduzane kwaleyo mpompi ugogo ukhubazekile awuvumelekile nokuthi udonse lawo mazi uzowafaka la. Akukhona lamathanki lawa impela lawa oJojo. Mhlawumbe agcina uwakubona lapha khona khona ethankeni. Bese siyabuya siyegaziyani. Eyi ngiyabonga ozakwethu bakhombisa ngempela ukuthi masiye kwi-oversight singayeli ukuthi sojabulela siyolala emahhotela. Ibuhlungu le ndaba yaseGiyani. Masikhuluma ngabantu bakhona bayashoda ngamanzi. Njengase-ward 34 khona ibhohole eyayenziwa lapha sambe siwaphele. Bantu baleya ndawo abanikezwa ngisho ishansi yokuthi bazi ngokuthi emphakathini wabo kwenzakala nabanyonge umsebenzi. Kwayile umthetho kagovernment ukuthi abantu bomphakathi funa bazike each and yonke into eyenzekalayo ukuze bakwazi ukuthi babe involved kwigada leyo mpahla eyenzekalayo noma leyongqalasizinda. Thola ukuthi abantu bakulanda abazilutho nabaney'nkontraka kuleya ndawo akhona yedwa abazi abathathwe iy'nkontraka zangaphandle izona. Ngangokuthi nje kunenkontraki lapha eyatholakala ukuthi kunabantu from last year December abangakaze bahole even manje. Naleyo nkontraki esayithola kuleyo ndawo sazothola ukuthi omunye wabo babemkhomba khona laphayana. And lenda ngazi nami nomi nobugebengu phakathi ngoba kwakhuluma kukhulunywa ngathi kukhulunywa ngomuntu nje ekugcineni siyamthola ukuthi lo muntu ukhona laphayana. Bayamkhomba ukuthi nangu lo muntu okuyena yena odla iy'mali zalana. And sibuyela kule amabhoholi. Le amabhoholi iy'nkinga maningi impela enziwe but iningi lawo wonke njengoba besho abasebenzi. Akuhlukene nokuthatha izimali zabakhokhi bentela zathathwa zayotshingwa lapha. And lana kuyofuna ngelinye ilanga besicaciseke ukuthi ngempela thina lana yini esihlalele njengamakomiti noma sihlalele nje kuvuka ekuseni sizohlala la sikhulume siphume phambi. Mina ngiyavumelana nanokuthi ekugcineni la sekuzofuna manje sithole labantu abazokwenza uphenyo. And okunye bengisandizokufisa mina la uba bekuzoya ngami le komiti. Khona ezinye izinto okufanele siyikhulumele eceleni. Khona izinto lasekufuna siyikhulume umphakathi ubone zonke. Yabona le ntela kawoda iy'nkinga ngendlela ongayazi uma ulalela izimali okubalwa o-53 million. Iy'mali nje ey'balwa la zinkulu and zibulala ikhanda. Why mase sidibe sasihamba sasiyenzeka phansi lezi makuthola isebenzi. And ngiyamzwela mina u-honorable Makhonto. Ayikho into ebuhlungu njengokuba yimemba yephalamende. Ugcina wena ungasakwazi ukuhlala ekhaya lakho. Even ebusuku bayafona abantu ngoba njengoba usephalamende bona bazilutho bazi wena ukuthi ubamele. Nese ngiyibona ngamina last week bengisemsinga. Abantu abanawo amanzi. Kodwa nampa mpompi babona bakhona. Uthi uyoyivula ithephu yamanzi awekho. Amapapa sekufana nale nto esayikhuluma la ngakhona ko-Richards Bay. Sakhuluma laphayana honorable deputy minister. Ngicela le nto uyilalele kahle. Ayikho into ebuhlungu ukuthi sifike la thina umphakathi le nto yokuthi thina asihlangane namanzi omasipala. Ufuna nazi loo nto. Uma umphakathi awazi loo nto. Wazi ukuthi thina ufuna ukubuza into esikubona. Ngoba laba baphansi bathi bayakubona umphakathi bathi uhulumeni uthi azikho imali, yayizwa loo nto. Kufana naleyo yey'kole, lana uminista wakhuluma into esimanga la uma ngikhuluma ngey'kole zasemakhaya. Ukuthi emakhaya iy'kole zakhona amanzi azinawo, amathoyilethi akhona ubona ngendle uma ungena khona. Phela funeka uma uyimemba ephalamende ungakhulumi indaba ka-ESA iyakhona. Kuthole ngamafokuseni azwathini wathi iy'kole izona ey'nikezwa kakhulu imali ngangokuthi eyabo izi benkulu eyabo. Baphendula-ke lami ngoba ngiyaqathatha kubona. Bathi yes, ukuthola lo mama. If kungekho ama five afakwa phansi, sizowathathaphi lawo mama. Waphela funa siwadonse kule la five bese siwafaka la. Zikhona lezo mali kodwa sizowathatha ngoba awekho. Awakwazi ulenze semakhaya njalo. Sidlule lapho. Ukuthi lento nje ibanga usizi kabo ngoba kuhlungaba umuntu wakithi omnyama uthole ukuthi sigcwele la kodwa abantu abasapha kushayithi thina abantu abamnyama futhi abantu abamanaja lawa mani yimina bantu abamnyama abasikhombise phela ukuthi niyacabanga nakho lokhu kufana ne-contract yabona kune-contract lana othole ukuthi zikhona emphakathini ziyasebenza umsebenzi ayiwuqedile uthole ukuthi le contract ingawuqedile umsebenzi kodwa imali yayiyathola umbuzo wami uthini phela sisebenzile kwanza vele ngisandizo zezona ephalamente uthi before i-contract iyongena lapho ifuna ihambe iyo-check umhlabathi oyasibanzi ibheke ukuthi njengoba kuzofaka kwaleli payipi umhlabathi uyavuma yini izothatha umhlabathi uyothestwa ukubheka ukuthi leli pipe izohlala isikhathi esingakanani. Imonitha njalo lokhu iyobheka. Onjiniya bonke laba bakomasipala. Ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi babasayinela kanjalo ukuthi umsebenzi wenziwe. While still abantu bakithi benjani bengenawo amanzi. Ngikhulumela kulezi zinto zonke amapipe alelele. Kube nemindeni ekhalayo. Oh, bese kuthi lapha enandoni. Ngisenze ukungena kakhulu ngikushona ngenzela ukuthi ngoba ukhona osukezo ozocela ukuthi ngibhale. Bese sibuye lapho futhi lapha enandoni. Ayikho nje ubuhlungu ukubona abantu bakithi bekhala. Aba size siyajabula so honorable kawuna. Siphuza amanzi aclean, sidla kamnandi, silala embhedeni. Kodwa uthole ukuthi kunabantu bakithi abahluphekayo. Lapha kunabantu abasuswe nandoni. Hlalo. Laba bantu laba bakhala ngento eyi-one. Uma besuswa kuleya ndawo, abakaze bakhokhelwe ukususwa kwabo kuleya ndawo. Laba bantu bebenemizi lapha. Benehlahla lezi hlahla lezi abebekwazi ukuphila ngazo bonje ngazo abantu babo mina ngokwazi kwami even kuzonqamula umgwaqo la isihlahla size sikhokhelwe ngokuthi lezi zingakanani kanjalo kanjalo ngoba phela kusekwenzela ukuthi umuntu sumluzise into akade ephila ngayo ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi ngempela ngempela laba bantu nifuna bakhale until when sizosiqede thina la ephalamende ngo-2019 waphandazi ngaye ngisho sobuye ipolitiki lesiginyona ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi labo bantu ngempela from ngifika la ephalamende ngo-2015 ngafika la bantu bekhale kanti bayadabukisa la bantu kukhona ngisho abantu abadala silapha nje sababona mhlawumbe nababona esihlanu ngiyabona ngiyacela ngempela ukuthi akukhombise la ukuthi njengoba silathini asizili ukuzodlala inhloso yethu kuzomela abantu not about ukuthi kujabulele ukuthi u-honorable kuningi engakusho manje kodwa ngicela ukuthi lezi zinto ngempela eke nisicabangele okunye ngobuye ngikusho ngibonga njengoba oza kwethu ngijabulela kubona ukuthi bakwazile ukuthi masiya lapha bayibone inkinga amabhoho zonke lapha abasebenzi fana nokuthi akuhlukene ukuthi kuthathe imali la yabasebenzela nje hambe kucala ukucebisa bayacebisa ngoba kwawona uma uthi uyabheka la mabhoho awazi ukuthi inqamba yenxanxathela engakayani ayikho enye indlela ongenziwa ngayo kunoma la mabhoho ubani lokucetshiswa ngala mabhoho.
Thank you, Chairperson. I read according to what the honorable member just has done. I have a problem. People don't have water. They share water with cattle, protecting themselves from dangerous animals along the rivers. This worries me the most to hear about things that are happening in Richards Bay while I know that there is nothing that is happening. also the issue of the money that should be directed to community projects, an amount of 265 million rand that has been redirected to other areas. When redirecting the money to other areas, where is the money that that area should have received? As we are speaking, people in KZN have no water. In Nongoma, Richards Bay, Mandlakazi, there are no pipes that have been installed as yet. In Tiani, people have no water, like in Ward 34. People are still complaining for not having water. Even the issue of boreholes. Only 144 boreholes are there, but they are not. They are just dysfunctional. People working there have never been paid since last year. This is like corruption. There is a subcontractor that was paid for the job, but left having not finished the job. The community members were complaining, but were pleading for water to drink. Even the members of the community were not given job opportunities. They were never informed about this project, but contractors were outsourced from somewhere else, having not been informed, and the residents were never informed as the members of the area. How does the department authorize to pay the contractors while the work has not been done? There are families that were complaining for having been removed from their places of origin when the Nandoni Dam was erected, as they were never reimbursed. Even their trees were removed but were never paid. Houses that were built for them are cracking and they are smaller. A few of these members of communities got the houses, but others did not get the houses.
No, no, sorry, Mr. Chair, I was holding the fort. Mama Carla waiting for you to come back. No, 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 Chair, if we do go back last year, and the whole issue of drought and the running up and down of every single small company or big company with or without experience acquiring or getting business from the government. Either it's a water borehole, water tankering, all of these things that they've been. Today now we have to deal with the accountability of all that. It is very exciting for small business people who are pumping and looking. And now we have to see this accountability of that money. Now, Chair, that's unfortunate, but public money, we deal with it in a manner that I think convinced the sort of members have expressed themselves here. We have to get accountability of each and every cent of public money. Now, Chair, the unforeseeable circumstances that led to this problem have this coincidence that we now have to be with now. In that pronouncement, in those pronouncements, I want to hear what has been the involvement of Ms. Nansen. And I think that the Director General will have to tell us. Because I'll take it that as much as the Act permits the Minister may, in consultation with National Treasury, because he didn't want to talk to us about a percentage of those pronouncements in rent, how much has been spent on those pronouncements, drought pronouncements. Because I'll take it that the department has its own plan, program 3 has its own plan, and then the rest of what has been implemented was outside the plan, the APP. In that budget allocated to the program, how much has been spent on those programs? Because can now begin to see, Chair, that the program 3 carries almost 90% of the budget. If I'm not wrong, correct me. 80%. 80%. That's program 3. And every single cent of that is APP. I mean that there were programs, projects that program 3 were to implement. We had a plan with the APP. Then pronouncement then come in. Move this so much, go to this area, run the appointment, do all of that. Where was this? This pronouncement, when they were happening, what scheme was used to allocate this fund? Was there a system in place? Was there agreements between either the department and municipalities that were entered into? Obviously, if it's so, will have to have been signed by the accounting officer of the department with those entities. It will be good to be provided, maybe now, maybe not now, based on the points that the members have already raised, you may want to get that information at some point. If there was any contract entered to transfer money, either to a municipality or to a water board, signed for by the accounting officer, not the minister. The minister can pronounce and say there's a drought in Kalazindi. She does not sign anything. She does not enter into any contract. The accounting officer of the law says that the accounting officer will then deal with such things. For me, Chairperson, the issues are so deep that you don't even pick up where has been the role of the construction unit of the department. I'm now taking you back, Chair, to a point that we invited a department of company. We were informed that there were about 600 projects that are run by the construction unit. And this is what was reported to me. Where are those projects? This project part of this project that has been around. Maybe you may want to talk to us about that particular. Maybe you may want to talk to us again, say, around the role of the construction unit in relation to the asset register. You'll recall that I'm trying to link infrastructure and what is the existing currently. The construction unit was in position of the infrastructure register. Therefore, maybe the answer is from the part of the asset. You may want to tell us where is the asset register of infrastructure in the department. The dispute between yourselves and the AG with regard to performance is presented. The last engagement, they informed that they were disagreeing. They did not agree with the AG. They have given us three options. They have given us three presentations, two presentations. The 67, the 53 now, and the AG says is 21, 28. What is happening with regard to that? Is there an engagement with the Auditor General? Have you resolved those issues? But Chair, for me, is that for us to get deeper into the full detail, we may deal with it when we deal with recommendations. Members have already expressed their views around this particular area. So we may want to have a particular recommendation. So the committee does not have capacity to investigate where we are seated now. It's a serious worry that this department in particular, program 3, has spent so much money that in the manner in which we're accounting, the committee is still not satisfied. So you may definitely want to opt to the proposal that members have made if you want to support that. Let us, in fact, as we engage with the Auditor General next week, we have a meeting inside the Auditor General. In that meeting, Chair, we have agreed that we need to invite National Treasurer to be part of that meeting. So the decision of the committee is very loud and clear that if we want a forensic investigation, let it be so. But we then will be able to finalize those things that we need. For now, that's until then.
Where a question arises as to the photo that could be needed or required to pursue any specific project, new, and also looking at the maintenance of such. What are the figures involved? Given all these backdrops that you are going through. Now, I also want to make an example about the European water scheme, the wastewater scheme.
You see the Spokane Regional Wastewater Scheme, Deputy Minister, is something that has literally been halting any development in that area. Whether you're going to be talking about human settlement, are we going to be talking about any of the expansion of those economic activities there? We did call on you to come and brief us on that deal. You gave us a feedback. What you did not tell us is that you are in a dispute there. The point where your main contractor earlier, because this became more of a turnkey, was summarily taken aside. That's what the other report tells us. We will have to come back to this. Because we given a report on the specific one by that contractor. I can't remember the name, but some transition advisor though. And the matter is before the court. Now, that you have such a scenario
which is literally halting any development going forward in that area. It will certainly have any cost run, this whole specific project, which adds on to those. Which then begs the question earlier that I asked about what currently going forward can we talk about in terms of cost capital requirements, which will then include as well the maintenance cost. Well, one of your major concerns, or rather our major concerns, as we move forward with yourself, with any delays that you encounter, there are these cost runs that impact negatively on your budgeting. If you can comment on that as well.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, one of the questions that they asked by one of the members, I'm not sure I'm with you. I'm more special to the member. I know that one of my colleagues has been, you know, asking this question. I don't know how many times. But also, once in Limpopo, where the chief asked me some questions around this project. And unfortunately, one of my members, their accounting officer, did not answer this question. So they want to have the truth of what is happening and why is it missing up now. And the money is 752 million. I think it's under the easy pillar. I do want to say, Chair, the silicon project is done by rainwater, not by water sanitation. Maybe at some stage you need to invite the rainwater so that they take you through this project. Again, Chair, I was in the desalination project in KZN, and I do know about it. I went there to see it. It was then working. The vandalism, which I'm not quite sure, because when I went there, Chair, I think it's something that we need to investigate, because it's not possible that somebody from outside can vandalize that project. It has, I mean, the systems and also the security that I saw there were intact. So it's something that we need to get the answers, Chair, and give them back to all those answers. Why the vandalism in that designation, which I suspect maybe there might be the inside job, because that project is a choice. And I don't want to waste time, Chair. This question will need the infrastructure activity to give you all these answers. And maybe the DG might have some of the questions. And I want to, at this moment, give it to DG Zandile to deal with some of his questions. Thank you, Chair.
So I think I must mention that some of the questions that they need the department to go back and provide more information, it may not be available right now. The one that the chair has raised about how much is needed as a capital investment. We can only give information about what is the commitment based on the project that we have now. But in terms of the backlog, in terms of the maintenance, then we need a more detailed guide, reconciling information from the planning team,
from the municipalities, it may still also not be very accurate because it is what the master plan will provide. The figure that the chair wants is what, if we had a master plan, it's a figure that was going to come out of the master plan. But for the existing infrastructure and the project, the commitments, we can provide that. We do have that information. How much money do we need to finish all the projects that were started? The breakdown of 12.1 billion rand, that is not clear. Honorable person has requested that we do it a three-pager. I think we'll try and do it. Maybe it was a question of expressing ourselves. And I came here thinking, I think this time around we've broken it down to five steps. It's a question we need to improve on our communication and how we package our information. You would not see Nwamita here, Honorable Makonde, because I was presenting the main account. I happen to work in both accounts, water training and city. You see Mzimbu was also not there. All the mega projects, because we report under main account, under WTE, because they are WTE. But that 1.7 in the first slide, where there was 1.7 that I said, it is a direct transfer from main account to WTE, that money does exactly those things. But because we're expected here to report on just that's why we limited ourselves to that. But the WTE presentation has information on how much was spent on all of them. The Richards Bay one, I would not be in a position to know how much this costs, but as the end user, as the end user, which is the problem three, we went through with the assistance of supply chain, we went through the process, and the project was implemented. But I would then raise it with supply chain to make further. What we did was there were presentations, and we went in, we were called to say, we needed to decide on the technology with our engineers. We weren't working it. So I would not be in a position to know who is this person and what and not. But the presentation was done and was arranged through supply chain. Do we have a unit that deals with geohydro? I think it's a very important question. We used to have that unit, but it was closed. The only one province has a geohydro. And drilling services. It's Limpopo. I'm not sure whether it is also still being used, but it's the only one that remains. Perhaps it's a good idea that as a department, maybe we resuscitate that. It was closed long time ago, about 10 years ago. We used to have it, but it was not being used. It was not being used regularly. As a result, I remember I was sitting in that meeting where we took a decision, let's close drilling services and enjoy it. But I was also sitting in a meeting yesterday with our engineering services where we're looking at the delays we're experiencing with the design. Because most of the designs, you do need geotech people to come and assist. So we do need to have to look at the geohydrology, geotech team. That is just going to be very important. Either way, our sources, we agree that perhaps in our strategic planning session, we look at whether we outsource it or we create a drawdown facility. When we need those people, we can go there. But we do have a few individuals that are experts in the department in geohydrology, in geohydro and services. In London, in Zambia, the 153 million, it was paid, I think the 100 was for site establishment. It's quite a huge project, I think it's around 700 million. The other 100, which was part of the tender document, even though it's done by Libele, but because we are funding it, we had to be familiar with the project. 100 went for pipe. We were trying to argue with the contractor to say, can't you pay this money in tranches, maybe four or five tranches, so that you continue. Apparently, the arrangement that the contractor had with the manufacturer was such that he had to pay. So the pipes have, my understanding is that we've paid for them, they are bought. However, the reason why the contractor is not on site, there is a variation order that must be approved by Mr. Treasurer. It's above 25%. If the project had advanced to an extent where it's above 20%, even if the project had advanced to an extent where we are comfortable with contingencies, would have asked him to say, proceed. Meanwhile, we're waiting for National Treasure. Take from the contingencies. But the project has, as you're saying, they just established the site and bought the pipes. So we are very skeptical to say, go to your contingencies. And he is saying he's not going to continue. That is the reason why. And unfortunately, good that Treasure is coming here, if they can give us a date, because it's also... It's not only the department, just the whole system perhaps we need to overhaul it, because this VO, the request went there last year, December. It is now October. We haven't received feedback on that VO. So it's those challenges that we're experiencing. And the contractor is saying, I'm not comfortable to move without you approving, without this VO. And we are saying to him, we can't, because we do not have authority to approve such a huge amount. That is the challenge. This is just a management problem, if I may say. Unfortunately, we do not have authority to approve this deal. It is above 25%. It's above 20%, sorry. Who is dealing with water in schools? I think the Department of Education is dealing with water in schools, but you are right, Ms. McCaul. It goes back to the issue that the chair has raised. Do we even know the backlog? But the reality is that even if we know the backlog, at some stage, I think 4 or 5 years in the department, we did sort of a desktop investment plan that said we needed about 600 billion to finish the backlog. And I don't even think the speaker has that amount of money. It goes back to the issue that says, is also the funding model of water infrastructure the most appropriate one under the circumstances? Because if we are going to say that this money must come from the fiscal, the reality is that it will take another 50 years for the fiscal to eradicate the backlog. So these are the decisions and main discussions that we are supposed to be having as sector leaders in terms of trying to understand what can be done to make sure that we do fulfill the promise that we made to people that will provide water. But the reality of where I'm sitting, I am as concerned as the committee that we are not touching where it matters most. There is just not enough money. Everybody is looking for a piece of money. To understand what I was saying to DJ something, maybe they must just take me if I can be able to pay for interest, because we just don't have enough money. The need far surpasses the resources that the state is having. Unfortunately, that is the reality. And perhaps the next question would be to say, how then do we deal with this? Because people do need water. And is the funding model the most appropriate one? Shouldn't we be bringing private money to come into this space and make sure we're regulating the sector appropriately? Those are the questions that we're supposed to be asking. Perhaps that DG, we may have to discuss them in our strategic planning session. But we can't reach everyone, but we are trying our best. I can assure you that we are trying our best in making sure that we reach everyone. To an extent where the municipality that you referred me to, the pipe that we are going to tap into, it is not our pipe, but we have requested Sasol to say, can we tap into your pipe so that we can take this water to this particular community? We are trying really our best, and that was not our pipe that we are going to tap into. And verification of work. The budget of the department is less than 12 billion. And as of last year, only last year, we appointed quantity surveyors. And there are only 4. But for the big projects, we are trying for all. There is no project that payment that we do without proper verification by these quantity surveyors. But as I'm saying, we are spread very thin. We can't reach the municipalities where we have transferred the money. We would like to reach the 5 B's as well. But from our side, we do have, and we are trying to beef up that team of quality surveyors that are doing the verification and certifying the certificate. Nandoni relocation, I think we also need to apologize for the fact that that project has delayed. But we did provide a report why it was delayed. It was not our call. It was the procurement process where we the service providers that tendered gave us very huge amounts, more than what we had budgeted for. And there was no way we could then appoint people and make commitments for people where we have requested a project is 2 million, people are coming in with 16, 18 million. So we had to restart the process. But I'm very happy that Mama Kaula is asking, because I am now sitting with a 30 million bill, because I have to pay those people of London. The valuation has been finished. And I have to go back to the teaching now. The project is continuing. But I was also much as I was worried that I don't have money, but I was excited that, wow, those people are going to get plus or minus 30 million. I mean, that's quite an achievement from where we came from. The report is also coming. We met with the service providers yesterday, and they have actually indicated that I need to prepare the DGs for him to be able to pay this 30 million as part of the relocation, compensation for relocation. So there is progress that we are making. Drought pronouncements, I think this information should be readily available from our drought, the colleagues that are dealing with drought, but National Treasury is also part of the process. I don't know how the process, maybe DG can explain the process that is followed when pronouncing drought-related matters, but I do know that eventually they get a cabinet involved. Declaration of drought is pronounced by cabinet, and I think we had a drought in more than 8 provinces, and we do have those declarations. There was the money allocated, the money that was the contract that we entered into on the drought related issues signed by the accounting officer. I think all contracts are signed by the accounting officer that we enter into, but there are delegations. Others, he has delegated them to us. Was the construction unit of the department involved in this? In some instances, it is involved. In some instances, it is not involved. It is involved in some instances through the appropriation, that 800 million that goes to water boards. There are water boards that are using our internal construction company to implement their projects. I think one of them is Dileng, as well as Makhali is in Madileng. We are using our construction company. Internally, we are also using them in some projects, especially under RP. They are being used as a contractor, and they are paid specifically as a contractor, and not as part of the project, but they're paid as a contractor. The issue of the asset register, I will allow the CFO to respond to that. Money needed to finish existing backlog and project, as we indicated, this is a mammoth task in terms of the backlog. But for existing projects, we do have that information it will be sent through, including maintenance. It is quite interesting because I think with the little budget that we have in the department, we are still trying our best to do maintenance. The reality is that maintenance is not done by most municipalities. And surprisingly, it's not only your 27 municipalities. It is also the metros. The latest report that we are going to submit to DG indicates that even the metros, some of them, are not doing O&M. Now, it becomes a problem because it's not even in their vocabulary. Now, for us to be able to arrive at a stage where we comfortably give chair a figure to say how much money is needed for O&M, you would first have to do your verification, you do your condition, you assess the conditions of those assets, you look at their estimated useful life, and whether how far they gone with that. I think it's a mammoth task that I did, and hoping that the colleagues that are dealing with master planning can assist in making sure that we get that information. From water resource management, we do have that information for the dams and canals, but and the treatment and the power station. But for the treatment plants and all those things, the water services part, it is going to be a mammoth task. But I think it would be better that we look up for that information after the master plan team has finished. The Sibukyan one, I think the DM has responded to that. We will be asking our rainwater colleagues to inform us. One thing that we know is that there is one project that has been delayed seriously, partly because the community as well wants to have, everybody wants to have a stake, everybody wants to see himself or herself benefiting from the project, and it is a challenge. Everybody wants to get a job, others want a business. Minister has intervened several times. We have called the political leaders of Gauteng and of the area, but the project is indeed a challenge. So I will, on the details as to why was the committee not informed about the contractor that has taken rainwater to court, I wouldn't know right now, but it will also follow with the other information. Thank you, Chair.
Question asked by Zandile, by Imam Amakawi, around the people that have been in the
and
the construction assets value, as we said, is about 650 million. Information is there on the annual report on page 379 of the annual report. That is the carrying value. There's a value that of 1.3 initial record. With the depreciation being taken out, we're now sitting with a value of 656 million on the construction.
I've just received a message that the department is not aware of any contractor that is, has taken the department to court to book in. But I am aware of the delay. I think it is the delay that has taken us. So I am aware of that. It's the contractor that has taken us to court to book in.
There's one strategy that you didn't give about the achievement of the project, 7%, 33%, and 28%. The 67% look like strategic objectives of the program, the way the program achieved 67%. Then the indicators of the program, things that they have to do, that's where they achieve the 33% and the AG saying 28%. That I think we resolve with the AG as soon as possible, because it's about submitting the facts and reach an agreement there. If the target is partially achieved, it's not regarded as an achievement. Only the achieved, when it's fully achieved, is regarded an achievement. Partially, we do indicate it to show that it's a work in progress, but we don't, it's not regarded as an achievement. The issue of the, yes, I'm aware of the work stoppages around the Sibukyan Regional Sewer, and I was, in our last report that we made, we did give the breakdown in terms of the number, so there is a number of schemes that are doing. But in terms of that, we will provide the nature of the dispute besides what was provided previously, because it was indicated that at the moment rainwater is appointing electrical engineering contractors on site, of which the local wanted to work immediately, and it was indicated that the work will begin in the new year. But they disputed the whole thing, so the contractor could not start. But we provide a written response in terms of what the nature of the dispute and how far are we in terms of resolving the dispute. In terms of how we package the information, Chairperson, I think we went, how we were doing it, we went to detail in terms of how the money moved. But I think when looking at it now, we did not have sort of an expected summary where, as Honorable Basson was saying, you need like a three-pager to say, out of all the information that is provided, this is how it is. But the information is there, it's at a detail level. We'll do a narrative, a short summary in terms of how money and the 12 billion, how much was for compensation of employees, how much was transferred to municipalities, which province, and we'll provide this kind of detail as a sort of a summary at the top. I think the CDG, I think it should cover, because mainly all the questions are around the program, I think she covered all the questions as well as the CDG minister.
One that I forgot to respond, the dispute with the AG. As we see today, we have not yet got any response from them. We have not yet had interaction with them. So they haven't, since our last interaction, when we were together at a committee. How it works is that when we have disputed, then they take it to the other committee. It does not get resolved by the same people who were party to the audit. So it's another auditing team within AG office that then deals with the matter. Up until then, they then call us for clarity, but they gave all the information to them.
I'm very keen to just on the specific one about the dispute with the AG. It's the first time I hear about it. In other words, it's the first time I hear of any government entity getting into a dispute. Does that happen?
It does happen. And I think their department, like Treasury this year, they didn't want to table, that's why they didn't table. The other department as well, that the process was not okay. Now, the dispute is in two ways. The dispute on the professional conduct of the AG's office, as well as on the core of the findings that they had. And as I reported last time for WTE, it was for the asset under construction. We never had a qualification on that matter, but it came through. We agreed that that one is a valid point. Then on the issue of TCA treatment of accounting there, we didn't agree with them, and there are reasons why we didn't provide that information to them. On the issue of what they wanted to disclose as irregular business arrangement, we didn't agree in terms of the interpretation that they had and the other things, and I gave example last time. So, but on the main account, there are also the different
things. No, that's fine. You wanted to say something?
I know that we'll be doing the interview in the next week or so. But stand off me to next last time. Give me a chance to the NGO to share the income, the men and women who are working behind the single system. The point is that drought was declared. And the drought was not funded. Because I've just heard now that the cabinet declared drought and drought was not funded. Then the department, out of its responsibility, then spend money on drought. It was declared, but it was not funded. This is what I'm hearing.
said that Raoul was, the cabinet said Raoul, and cabinet did not fund Raoul. The department went ahead and spent on Raoul. So the clarity is what I want to share, because the point that colleagues have already made is that we are not satisfied with this explanation. Hence, we then invite Treasury, we invite Auditor General, and then we'll make our own recommendations. So I just wanted this thing to be clarified. Our take is that if government declared it wrong, government will even solve the money. Government will then ignore your drought relief or whatever system that they have in place to deal with this problem. The point I was making is that ABP of Program 3 had identified programs that are going to be implemented in a year, the annual APG. Then you then come and make pronouncements shifting funds from APP to programs that are not funded, then program 3 collapses. The point I was making is that how much of that money that was spent on those pronouncements? And someone will have to account on that, because the Directorate of Infrastructure at an APP, the Directorate did not achieve what it wanted to achieve, because there was this pronouncement that says, move this money there, take this one, move this money there, and all of that. I said that. The point I was making is that those pronouncements were the agreements in place to shift that money. Was National Treasury involved in shifting of that money? But those are points that I wanted to understand. Because you don't shift money as you want, because the Act says that the minister may table an amendment to the budget. It does not mean that. Hence, the point I was making again is that the program 3 carries almost 80% of the budget of the department, and it then gets disrupted by this pronouncement. So that's the point that I'm trying to understand. Because I know for a fact that during drought, everybody was running balls left and right. You go to the whatever pronouncement, 200 million is moving there. Where these things, and we want to get those agreements, by the way, it's being oversight now. Each and every cent of that money that has been pronounced on, it must have an agreement, black and white, signed. Because if that money is transferred without any agreement in place, it's irregular. It becomes fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So, Chair, for me, these are the points that will want the AG and National Treasury to explain themselves. What was the finding of the AG when they installed this program 3? And therefore, the decision of the committee can then come in to say, this is what we now want in forensic investigation into that program. Because I'm saying that program 3, it has its own program. It said, we are putting so much money because we're going to do the following in a year. Then drought is then pronounced by government. Then drought, and then the department must then, they give the department the money to transfer all of this money. I can imagine now that we know that we had to do it because people wanted to watch and all of that. At the end of the day, someone would have to account for that money. It's unfortunate now it's yourself that must account. Other people have made business with the department, they've opened up boreholes without water and all of that. That's the whole thing that comes in. So it's very important that we get that thing sort of cleared so that all of us are, because when we call National Treasury, National Treasury must tell us that you have pronounced drought. Did you find that drought? If National Treasury says we pronounced drought, we did not fund the watch for, then they must fund back the department. They must repay that money back to the department. If it's mandated by government that spends that money, hence the issue of National Treasury. It can't, because You see, APP has been approved by Parliament. At no point that the department has ever came back and said, we are now amending our APP. At no point. We are now amending our APP, we are amending the budget. We are no longer going to focus on issues that we have said we'll do on program 3 because of this pronouncement. That has not happened between Parliament and the government itself. So these are clarities that we have to get.
Maybe as you continue to respond, you can also on page 55 of your slide, there on the interventions, drought intervention reallocation, I see there you talk about only water tankering. Now, this is 2016-2017 that we're dealing with. Part of what is there is your Hekeng River local municipality. As a committee, we went there in September of last year. We've been asking one question all the time about whether we are making any progress. And we kept on being told different stories every time we were asking that question. Now, we are dealing here with a community which was explained, and we were explained, of 40,000 odd communities. At one point, we were directed at City Bank. Later it was Mahali, and later, you know, after a lull, it was the construction unit, and then later it became, or rather it came back at Mahali water. This is a project I would imagine that falls within the year under review, 2016-2017. If you can just be given an indication as to what is going on with that one. I'm aware that I've spoken to the DG lately on that specific one. I'm aware that I gave the correspondence that I received from the mayor to the deputy minister. I got a text message last week. The mayor there very excitedly indicating to me and also to the whip about the clean audit that they received in the entire Northwest province. And the point that she made was despite the water shortages that they are going through, they received that audit. So these are some of the things that really pain us, to be quite frank and direct. Whatever is happening, it must never ever compromise our communities out there, which we are about as this committee. When there we raise expectations to those communities. And the mayor had to write later indicating that we were there and expectations were raised and literally wanting to get a sense of whether or not there is any progress going forward. I just thought, let me just raise it bluntly and openly, that we made a promise as this committee and we were depending solely and literally to this department to be able to say to those communities, your lives indeed are going to be improved for the better. I just thought, let me just throw it as well as we
Chair, look, I don't know that you still have energy to raise this point. The reason that I'm saying this is that...
You can hear me, I'm looking down on it.
In the last meeting, both the minister and the said he's not done. Both the minister and the recorded. So I don't know why you want to bring it forward. This is one of those areas that the department decided that they've been in a drought for 3 years, this one got lucky, they were going to help them. There's nothing that's going to happen here. You just have to give it there. Yes, I'm raising it, that's my concern. Deputy Minister, you have a constituency office very well. You will carry the constituency, one call there the constituency. I am from Hitling Local River Municipality. That area was hit by drought for the last 3 years. Not in single intervention of the minister. They have now decided to take the matter, I've reported that, to the president of the country. If it follows this, it is so terrible. The community will suffer because of whatever community. I don't think that must be tell itself. We have to leave this matter. It will sort itself out at some point one day. It will not be now. But one day that community will be over. There will be leaders who are caring. There will be leaders who want to make sure that these people will never go without it. I'm not interested, Chair, to sit here and again to listen to the department. To enable all of these things around that project. It is around the system. All of these things. They have any interest. What business interest would we have when people don't have money? Mam Kaula raises issues every day here. People jump there. I don't know who's on the other day. Mam Kaula raises something that. Now we have sent people already to go there and check what's happening. Makaula raises issues every day here. No one is hearing it. No one is hearing it. It is meant that certain members will be frustrated. Or either it's meant for something else, but I don't think that we must deal with this case. It's an issue that we must just close it and leave it there. One day they'll have leaders that will care for them, that community.
Mr.
Minister,
the issues have been raised.
You know, at some stage, we are blamed not to respond to the drought. And when we started, the drought started 2022 years now. It was the beginning of our camp with myself and the minister. And people then were referring to Department of Water and Sanitation for drought. Nobody else. They were calling us to say we don't have water. Like what Mama Kaula was saying. That at some stage you don't say to people it's not my responsibility. And we found ourselves, that's why now we have irregular expenditures, because we're responding to those. When people are phoning us to say we don't have water, we used to jump. We're no longer jumping now, Chair. Because we took a stance that says it's not our responsibility, because we're being blamed for giving people water. And it will be turned to be an irregular expenditure or double dipping. So we listen to this, Chair, carefully. We're trying to correct our mistakes that we did before during drought, that all the drought people that were phoning to say we don't have water. People were phoning Department of Water and Sanitation instead of municipalities. And if you talk to municipalities, municipalities say we don't have money. So maybe the agreements that Honorable Calvary is asking for, maybe we need to get those and check whether we have agreements. But I'm telling you, Chair, we did our mistake. I remember one time, it was December, when O.S. Campbell was phoning me, Mamukaula,
saying we don't have water. It was Christmas time, people didn't have water, it was funerals. I mean, December, everyone is at home. So I directed a provincial director, Okosha Makani. Okosha Makani, please respond, there is no water. And Okosha Makani responded by sending trucks and all that. And until I was told by the minister, be careful, because all we are doing now is going to be, at the end, irregular expenditure. So we don't know exactly what we need to do, because we are not going to respond now to any people that are asking for water, Mama Kaula, because we're being blamed for double dipping and for also, they say, it's irregular expenditure. So you end up not knowing what to do, because even the municipalities themselves, when they say we don't have money, we can't fold our arms and say, okay, die, we don't have money. We respond. But we are trying to correct those stress that we've taken a stance that say, if people are phoning us, Mama Kaula, we'll say go to municipalities. And it's not going to be nice again. We'll be blamed again to say, why am I not responding to this municipality? All I'm saying is that, Chair, you respond, you're being blamed for responding. It's called irregular expenditure. You don't respond, they say there's a department called water and sanitation. People don't get water. Why? So we'll leave it at that, Chair. We'll get all the, because we were instructing the municipalities to declare disaster in their municipalities. And once they declare disaster, they tell us that we don't have water. Then we'll then respond to their need of water. I think that will be taken care of. I will take it up to the minister to say, once we respond to this request, we're being blamed. The one that I want to raise, Chair, now, I think I saw you lifting up your hand, I think, and Dandile, maybe there are two questions that you want to help you with. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, the question was raised on the budget that was made available by Treasury regarding the drought. In the 2016 budget speech, an allocation was made for, I think, overall disaster for the whole country. And then during the adjustment budget, 16-17, National Treasury did make available a total of 341 million. 290 million was for the submission grant. And only 50.6 million was made available towards education current services that we have rendered. So the other funds that we have utilized over and above the 50 million are the ones that we have sought within our original budget that was approved in 16-17. So there was money allocated, but it was 341 million from Treasury.
The Gatling project is implemented by Makhali, and the money comes from the department. You remember, Chair, last year when we wanted to intervene and put a temporary pipeline, it was because the source had dried up. And I indicated that subsequent to that were drains, and the hydrologists were saying, no, you can no longer put that pipe there, the temporary, because there is water. But let's look at a permanent solution, which has always been part of Makhalisi's plan. Makhalisi's plan has planned that Gatling was going to receive water from Pilanisberg Phase 3. We have requested Makhalisi to continue with the feasibility of Pilanisberg Phase 3. And with the hope, and I was saying if there is a way, because there's a way that you can short circuit some processes, because feasibilities are long, they take long.
Let's see how we can short-circuit some processes, because we can get the minister to declare it an emergency and what, and we are able to move faster and withstand, and you do those things once you are under construction. We have put it in e-planning, we have put it as part of the bid for next financial year, but for this financial year, we're just hoping that we'll commence. Mahalis is commencing, apparently they have appointed for feasibility studies for Pilaris based them. I have asked the team to say, in the meantime, shouldn't we go and sit down with the municipalities and say, what is it, whilst we are coming in with phase three, which may have to be accelerated, perhaps in the same way we did with Gian. And fortunately, in the area, it is not as big as Gian. We are not looking at billions the way we're doing it with Gian. But shouldn't we accelerate it? And shouldn't we perhaps sit down then with municipalities and say, what do we then do in the meantime? But we all have responsibilities, because what my team is saying, no, but ma'am, you're going there, those guys are also not doing their own. I said, okay, let's just go. Let's go and see what we can do in the meantime for them to get water. Meanwhile, phase three is coming. And if another reason, I'm also trying to get the MM, I don't know the MM, to say, can we approach mining houses? Because Pilanisberg phase one and Pilanisberg phase two, they did contribute. But it was those municipalities in those areas that we went with them to approach mining houses to say, can we then pour mine and we move faster with that one? So that is the plan, and I promise that in the next meeting I can provide a detailed progress in terms of what's going, a detailed plan, because since the Mahalis has appointed, once the PSP is on board, he can then be able to give us a detailed breakdown of all the milestones and when does he think we can finish. But I said to Mahalis also, let's also accelerate. Come and tell us if you need us to get the minister to bend some of the EIA rules, not to break them. The minister has a right under certain circumstances to ask the Minister of Environment to relax some of the rules. So we will be moving with speed on certain things. But it's coming under phase three. It's planning to phase three.
No, it's not at three or two.
Three.
I know Mr. Makondo indicated an interest to this area, which shall leave us for. Maybe just before we part ways for now, if we can just look at the program. Let's thank CDG.
You are still on this. I wanted to propose something that may help us. That we allow the department to formally show the president before. So we ask them to give us more information and the submitted documents that are here. Then ask them to formally tell them. And for members, we are going to finalize our report and make recommendations. You can then have your slot going through the procedure. If you give them without telling them formally, you may not even.
Let's allow for that process as well, for the deputy minister and the accounting officer.
We
shall then give us a space for us to proceed with the documents, obviously in your absence. But this is information that shall assist us towards finalizing the BRR report. Okay.
The next presentation of war on this proper blog and with the era of four now presentation that is supposed to be and the activities that do all the way to answer questions. We will leave the question to see that.
Can we just go handle my the style? You see, we requested the department to bring their TTCs here. They are here. So that we don't have any, if you like, fruitless expenditure. So that the department doesn't argue with the AG anymore on its fruitless having been here. That's the dilemma that we're in. I hear your point about formally tabling, but we are confronted with the situation now. Mr. Chalky, you want to comment?
No, it's a normal process. You may not have enough time. What you do is that you can ask the activity to table each and every document that you have not done. It's up to the committee to that we want to satisfy the question is not going to work. What we need for now is that the activity will present the document to the committee. Document on war on the table, the table format is recorded, but this information was given to the committee. And the next document and the next document. Question clarity is done. On our own, as we interact with the document, not throwing them away. That is why we must record them, because they are here in the committee. And they are recorded, but the following information was tabled in the committee.
I wanted to request to TTC Marks and let you wait for the next issue so we can break down and send those before break down to all the members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. In my opening remarks, I did indicate that we have prepared a set of documents for the committee to look at. Since we have dealt with the first one, which was the breakdown on the infrastructure program, I would like to table the following document, the war on leaks, which covers the program from its conception and also to where we are in terms of the program. The second one is drop a block, the program that was done during the drought in 15-16 financial year, 15-16 financial year, the SEP rollout, the water trading debt collector, there was a request that we need to submit information on debt collection contract, and lastly, the functioning of the internal audit. Today I did bring in the head of internal audit, as well as the risk management. So I'm formally presenting those documents to the committee.
Okay. There be that a process having ensued. We shall then have to accept the formal submission or table of the documents. Members, have the liberty of going through those as we prepare for the
PRR report, we were actually looking at bringing that session for adoption of that PRR report for next week. In accordance with the program of Parliament, we are expected to bring those for adoption in the National Assembly on the 7th of November. And so we do have some little leeway, if you like, which then shall take us for next week. Now, we're just debating with Madia about the timing. Some of our members are not here on a Tuesday, clearly because of their commitment to their own respective committees.
Mm-hmm.
Proposed here is to deal with such a report sometime next week, but having to choose a day. And what could that day be? We're having a program next week that deals with, again, part of what we were meant to have dealt with in the past week. Things been brought forward for next week on the 25th of October. Here you're talking about Western Cape and Cape Town government leaders coming to Parliament together with the National Disaster Management Center, which is located within COPSA and COPSA itself. Now, these are the entities and organizations and departments, and the aim it is to deal with the water crisis in the Western Cape, in particular Cape Town. I'm mentioning Cape Town because the Cape Town, out of the water resource that we have in the Western Cape, 80% goes to Cape Town. So that's what we have for next week on the 25th, expected of this program to have happened in the past week. We all know what happened in the past week. We went to funeral. So that's where we are. If we can have just a minute or two, what is that for us in terms of availability, time-wise? To table the report itself and for adoption as well.
No, Chair, it's not going to be possible. What is the deadline?
7.
So what I'm suggesting is that the meeting next week can be the important session. The meeting next week. You can have about an hour on that. You not want to just an hour on that, just on the report. And then deal with your working team. That's the reflect on the report and the footage. We'll have gone through the documents by the time the content advisor together with the reflector would have gone through the documents and sort of be able to advise on some recommendations that we do. Just put together an hour. I think the core members of the committee will coordinate one. But one is full time in the committee, one colleague is full time in the committee. And so, you know? Yeah, I don't know, but it's possible that she'll be here. So we can coordinate that part. Ourselves are going to not. We can coordinate that part, Chair. We'll just put flesh into the report. And then schedule it for that other week of the first. That week of the first, we can then move to the election. Because we do have a committee on the meeting of the first. Is that the meeting with the auditor general and the. So in that meeting, we can then give you the option. But the meeting next week is just the meeting. It's very important. Because by the time we go to adoption, it's something that we want to do. I don't want to do that exercise with me alone without the department.
My medium term policy. What time is it starting? 2 or 3?
Okay.
Hmm?
Okay.
I'm not saying anything. Just reserve my comment.
Your committee meetings, what time do we start? 10 or 9:30? 9:30.
Oh.
What you think? You're thinking aloud here, perhaps if we do an 8 o'clock. Too tight.
What now? I don't know if you do the afternoon, because you see that. And I'm telling you, no problem until late.
Okay, let's communicate that decision, looking at the time availability for that. Okay, just a minute, I think we have come to the end of our session for today. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to go to the house.